That is the worst. I keep saying this every time. It's the worst bit of mix of music I've ever heard. Outside of, you know, Radio 1. That's a terrible. It doesn't even work. It just starts with a. What is it? What the hell is it? It's just mishmash of stuff. It's rubbish. It's like an iPod that someone's put on shuffle, but the shuffle facility is broken, and the iPod has gained a sort of sentient intelligence, like one of the Borg out of Star Trek, and has become a sort of cyborg automaton that now controls iPods as well. It's rubbish. What I'm saying is it's rubbish, Chris. So can you sort it out for tomorrow? Fed up with it now. Anyway, hello then. Welcome, then, you, to day three of a voice coming out of my face and squirting out of your radio towards your ears. Hello, I'm a man called the name of John Holmes. I'm squatting in for Ian Lee. He's off this week, searching for gasoline in a post-apocalyptic landscape, forced to compete against the mighty Master Blaster in a futuristic Thunderdome. One man enters, one man leaves. It's a fight to the death, and the only judge is Tina Turner in a massive wig. Anyway, his seat in the LBC House of Representatives has been lost to me. I've taken it. This is the noise of the seat. It's an actual seat. And I'm here with the usual blend of pointless phone-in games, idle chat and general time-wasting that's emanating out of West London in radio waves that are batting about the atmosphere at about 97.3 frequencies a second. As ever, you can call us this afternoon, 0870 9090973, and please do, you know, because I like to talk to people. Not all people, obviously, certainly not tax inspectors or clowns, but certainly most people. 0870 9090973 is the number to be on the phone. You can also text us, 84850, or email holmes@lbc.co.uk after Monday's show. Of course, nudie pictures of ex-girlfriends are welcome. So hello then, welcome to Wednesday, the whatever it is of November on LBC 97.3, in the gap between 3 and 6.30. I'm John Holmes, and this, as I think I just mentioned, is LBC 97.3.
London's LBC 97.3.
John Holmes.
So, what's coming up then in today's radio equivalent of losing a midterm election? Well, I visit the sand dunes of Morocco today. Angela Rippon is on a cruise along the Nile, and Jeremy Sheffield is pony trekking in the Cotswolds. So, hang on. That's not this show, is it? Sorry, that's BBC One's holiday programme, but instead over here on the Electric Wireless, it's the usual tat. We've got the mystery song quiz rolled over from yesterday, except we've changed it completely. Apart from the fact that it's not a song quiz, it's a mystery celebrity quiz. I made a mistake there. There are details, anyway, of the mystery quiz later. It's a new one. It's a new one. It's fine. No one won it yesterday anyway, it doesn't matter. We've also got a brand new computer game for the radio. Oh, yeah, we've already played, if you're a regular listener, Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell for the radio. We've already played that. We've already played Warhammer 40,000 Dawn of War Dark Crusade for the radio. But today, we play Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 American Wasteland for the radio. Instructions coming up in a while, but today I can tell you the prize. I have another, I think back in the summer I got some of this to give away as well. I have another 4 DVD box sets of television to give away. 4 DVD box sets of television, one of which could be yours if you want to play Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 American Wasteland for the radio. The phone lines, then, this afternoon have been reconnected after James O'Brien accidentally cut them this morning, but you can now get straight through to us here live via the medium of 0870 9090973. Chris is standing by as well in there to take calls. And where's Helen today? What happened? Chris? She's bunking off. Where did she go? Because you're normally in there with her. What happened?
I know, some mysterious bug.
Is there?
Floating around.
We should ring her up.
Maybe we should.
Have we got a home number?
I can hunt it down.
We should find it and ring her up, see what's wrong with it. Maybe. So who have we got in instead?
Priscilla.
Lovely. Hello, Priscilla. You all right?
I'm good. I'm all right.
Yeah. You looking forward to it?
Sorry?
You looking forward to it?
Yeah. Definitely.
She's not. So 0870 90 90 973. If you want to talk to Priscilla, who is answering the phones, Chris today is trying to work a desk. And I mean trying. They'll pick up the phone as it rings, it's fine. 0870 90 90 973. You can also text us this afternoon, 84850, or you can email us on a computer, which is homes@lbc.co.uk. As I said before, LBC is an equal opportunities radio station. We'll take calls, text and emails from everybody, black or white, rich or poor. We'll cut prices at a score. Oh, and also mentals as well. If you're mental, that's fine. You can ring in. 0870, etc. 84850, etc. Homes at etc. But first, to the end of yesterday's show. If you're listening, as it ground to a close, at about sort of, before we went into the sort of random, everyone rings up and there are ridiculous, no rules, go straight to air stuff that happens at about 6 o'clock, against my better judgment, you will have heard Petra rang up. It was about 5:45 last night. Good on Petra for ringing up. And she did, and I asked her if she was related, or indeed named after, the dead Blue Peter dog out of the 70s. Because the name is Petra, it's quite an unusual name, unless you're a dead Blue Peter dog, in which case it's a normal name. But I asked her if she was related. It turned out that she wasn't related to that at all, but instead she was a nice lady who sold pharmaceutical supplies. But it got us to thinking, if you heard the end of last night, that what... Well, how can I put this? She mentioned a Blue Peter baby, right? I knew there was a Blue Peter dog, and I knew of a Blue Peter tortoise, and I knew of a Blue Peter horse, pony, called Rags. I knew there was a Blue Peter elephant. Chris, there was a Blue Peter elephant? Yeah. Oh, yeah, the one that crapped on John Noakes. Yeah, but that wasn't a Blue Peter elephant. That was just a guest. That, Chris, was when the guests on Blue Peter would, you know, just willy-nilly take a dump on John Noakes, which became the accepted thing. The elephant did it. Evil Knievel did it. Took a dump on John Noakes. Do you not remember that episode? The classic episode?
So the elephant wasn't the resident pet?
He wasn't the resident pet. He just turned up. He was a circus elephant. He turned up, did a poo on John Noakes. As I say, that became a sort of tradition. Then Evil Knievel did. I think David Essex came in as well and weed up John Noakes' leg. Do you remember that? Classic Blue Peter episode there.
Passed me by.
Did it? You can see it on YouTube. So we would take. What else did Blue Peter? What else did they have? I remember that, and I remember Joey. Remember Joey Deacon? I remember him and his friend Ernie. I remember them. They were the Blue Peter pets of sorts. I remember that, but I don't remember the Blue Peter baby. But then again, I'm not old enough to remember that. Apparently, because it happened in the late 60s when I wasn't alive. So if you know about, if you've heard of the Blue Peter baby or know anything about it, then you can please do call or 0870 90 90 973, text us, etc. But what I also want is your limericks, because I said yesterday, and this is true, I won a Blue Peter badge. Genuinely won a Blue Peter badge. That's right. Look impressed. For a limerick, I wrote when Petra, the Blue Peter dog, died. And that must have been, late 70s, I guess, died. And I was a tiny child, and I had a Blue Peter badge for writing a limerick. There's a limerick competition about the new dog that was replacing Petra and that Petra had died. Right, the new dog was called Goldie, and it was belonged to Simon Groom, who was a presenter at the time. And I wrote a limerick about it, and it was about dead Petra. I mean, I also remember in it that I rhymed Goldie with Mouldy, in respect of dead Petra. For that, even at a young age, I still won a Blue Peter badge. So what I want this afternoon is I want your limericks about dead Petra and Goldie, the Blue Peter pets. You can win prizes, and I think we can give genuine prizes away for this, Chris. Am I right? We've got DVDs and stuff, is that right? And books and stuff. Stuff lying around upstairs. Okay, we'll give those away for genuinely good limericks this afternoon about the dead dog, Blue Peter dog, Petra, and Goldie, the replacement. We want your limericks. You can ring us with them or email them, whatever. 0870 90 90 973. Text 84850. Email homes@lbc.co.uk. Hello, I'm John Holmes. Ident. 97.3 LBC. 97.3. Chris. Travel. Alan.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
Are you well today?
I'm very well today.
Are
How
you are still
you?
Here though, even though you didn't get many out of 10?
No, I only got 6. I realise that.
You're going to try and improve getting your travel score today?
Plenty of time to get it up, so to speak.
Easy. Easy, Alan.
Yeah, okay.
Dirty Alan in the afternoon. travel then, if you've got some.
M25 anti-clockwise looking slow from Junction 3 at Swan.
Standard surreal text from Tony that comes in at the beginning of every show. This week, today even. John, can I and my toad that smells of rust live in that flap of skin under your neck? That's from Tony. No, is my simple answer to that. Ryan in Battersea also texted in. John, can we play Taxi Driver Challenge? Every day, Ryan, you ask, and every day the answer is no, we can't, for legal reasons. You are the worst radio presenter I have ever heard. That's from Rich. And weirdly, by a coincidence, Rich, that's the worst text I've ever received. So, you know, at least that equals that out. The baby from Blue Peter was Sophie Ellis-Bextor when it was a baby, and that's from Michelle in Bramley Road. Is that true? I don't think it is. Michelle. Good guess, but I don't think it was Sophie Ellis-Bextor, whose mum, we remember, was Janet Ellis from Blue Peter. Sarah is in Greenwich. Hello, Sarah.
Hello, John.
How are you?
I am rubbish.
Okay. Why?
Thank you for asking.
Why are you rubbish? What's happened?
I'm in bed cuddling my £5 pillow from Primark.
Cuddling your £5 pillow? Is that the cost of it or the weight of it?
The cost.
The cost of it. Because you know about pillows, don't you?
Well,
you know that there's some sort of research, scientific research, that says that the average pillow contains something like £5 of dead skin cells and mites.
Oh, it's a cushion. It's a cushion.
Well, it doesn't matter. Has it touched you?
I've touched it.
Well, that's the same thing.
Not really, because I don't think they can touch, because I don't think they're alive.
No, if you go near them with your skin...
Yeah.
Apparently, pillows, certainly pillows, and certainly mattresses, to give it the plural, Sarah.
Yeah.
Contain about, I think it's nearly a ton, your average mattress over 5 years, a ton of dead skin cells and rats or something like that. I didn't read the details, but I think it said rats and skin cells. I think that's true. If anyone knows, Sarah, of course, they can probably help us out on that.
0870
and do you want to do the number? Do you know the number?
Yeah.
Go on.
Oh no, that's my number.
Don't read that out.
No, please don't.
Mad people would phone you. Yeah.
Yes, crazy mentals.
Crazy mentals. Yeah.
Of which there are many.
Yes. Well, we do know. Go on.
Yeah. 0870.
Yeah.
9090973.
That's right, that's the number to call. If you know anything about mattresses, mattress eye, give it the plural, Sarah.
And cushion eye.
And cushions, no, it's still cushions. Pillows being full of, I can't remember, there is a weight thing, there's something. Do you ever change your mattress?
I turn it over.
Well, that's fine, you can do that for a bit, but I think there's a thing that...
But mine's like, because you know I'm in student halls, I think I told you.
You did, yeah, you did
last
say that.
Week.
Yeah.
Right, mine's, like, born just, like, in the flat, and it isn't my own one, and it's a bit minging.
It's a bit minging, is it?
A bit minging, John.
What sort of, well, does that mean, so you're in student halls, but that means, that's worse there, isn't it? Because that means somebody has slept on that before you.
Yeah, and there's somebody dead skin cells.
Yeah, somebody dead, someone died in your flat.
No, didn't.
You just said somebody's dead skin, somebody dead, and their skin cells, you said.
That's scary.
Do you think someone
I thought
did?
It was haunted.
Did you? Why? What's happened?
Because my bananas keep going from my fridge.
Your bananas... Is that a euphemism? Or is that...
That's just the truth.
Right. Okay.
My... honestly, I bought 4 bananas the other day. I ate 2, the other 2 went...
Well, hang on. It's a student house. Surely other students are taking...
No, I've got my own fridge in my own room.
Oh, I see. So you're not sharing a kitchen?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, but I don't have to share a toilet, thank God, because...
Is that in your room as well?
Well, yeah.
Next to the fridge?
Yeah.
That's so... Sarah, it turns out you've got the most unhygienic flat I've ever heard of.
No.
First of all, a person died on your mattress.
They haven't died on my mattress.
They have. They've died on your mattress, and left their old rotting flesh in your pillow cushion. Yeah. And now you're telling me your fridge is next to your toilet. That can't be hygienic.
No, it isn't. It's non-sweet, right?
It's an en-suite.
Like, yes, so it's like an own separate tiny room. It's like a size of a port-a-loo, but with a shower and toilet.
Right.
And I've got bleach and a toilet, but you don't need to know all that, though. But it's lovely. I wouldn't change it for the world.
Would you not?
I don't have to live with my parents anymore, yay.
Fair enough, then. But how are you going to... Were they dirty parents or clean parents?
What, my parents?
Yeah.
They were very, very clean.
Were they?
Yeah.
That's right, then. So have they been to visit you in your student place?
Yeah. They went a bit mad at me, though, because I bought new technology with money.
What have you bought?
New phone.
A new phone, yeah.
New PC monitor, new TV.
Yeah. That's quite a lot, isn't it, for a student?
A new life. It's all good.
That's squandering their money and the money that you get from the taxpayer.
Yeah, so I have to pay that money back, like, with interest.
Because it's
so
a
technically,
loan.
It's my money.
Yeah, I suppose.
Are
you old enough to remember Blue Peter?
Yes, and I remember when a tortoise died or something.
Tortoise?
No, didn't they squash it or something?
No, they didn't squash it. What happened was there, that was quite recently, wasn't it? That was fairly recently. Which one was it? Was it Simon Thomas? One of them, which presenter was it with the tortoise, can you remember?
The cute one. Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Mel Blue Peter presenters are fit.
Okay, like, which one now? Which one now? Had the tortoise?
I honestly can't... Was it Tim Vincent?
It was Tim Vincent. You're right.
Yeah.
God, yes, it was Tim Vincent. I'll tell you,
that's Vincent. What
happened. And the tortoise died.
Yeah, and they squashed it.
That's right, because one day Tim Vincent just went a bit mad, didn't he? Remember, at the beginning of the programme? Remember, he just lost it, because it's live.
Yeah.
And he just, do you remember, during the Rugby World Cup, and he just picked up the tortoise, and he just drop-kicked it into the gallery, up into the wall of the TV studio, do you remember?
I don't think he did that.
And the tortoise...
The tortoise
came out of its own shell and hit Connie Hook in the face, do you remember?
I don't like Connie.
No, well, she's got a tortoise on her. She looked like out of Alien, you know, in Alien, where it comes out and jumps on someone's face and holds the face.
That's me.
That was Connie Hook, but with the naked tortoise that came out of its shell.
Naked tortoise.
Do you remember?
Ew. Yeah, but I'm
so many complaints
to
children's BBC.
Didn't they? They were so hungry because the BBC didn't pay them enough money.
What, the tortoise?
They ate it, yeah.
Or the presenters?
No, both. Oh. Well, no, like, neither of them got enough money, but the presenters were so poor they had to cook the tortoise for food, for nourishment.
Right.
No, that's loads of rubbish.
Just making that up, aren't you? Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know... Well,
did you ring up for a reason, by the way? I haven't even asked you.
Not really. I just felt like being annoying.
What? It's not annoying. It's not annoying at all. It's very pleasant to talk to you.
Oh, thank you,
Mr. Of course it's not annoying.
That's all right, then. Yeah. But what we... You know they're trying to get back, like, with DNA, dinosaurs and woolly mammoths.
Well, where did that come from?
No, that's what they're trying to do, isn't it? They want to...
What, like Jurassic Park?
Yeah.
Okay.
What they should do, they should have a pet woolly mammoth.
Yeah.
And give her every week, day, whenever they're on. Is it on every day?
What?
Peter?
I don't know. I'm here. Well, I don't know. I'm not watching him. I'm sitting here.
You're all right. Calm down.
All right. Easy.
Easy.
I think it's on Mondays and Thursdays. Used to be when
is
I was
it?
A child.
Right, every episode they should give away a dinosaur egg that hatches out into a T-Rex and eats the children.
Stupid idea. Have you got a Blue Peter
it's
badge?
Not stupid, because children are horrible. Lovely things.
Slightly generalising there. If there are any children listening in and you're not horrible, give us a call, argue with Sarah, 08709 numbers. Have you got a Blue Peter badge, sir?
No, I never won one because...
I've got a Blue Peter badge.
Yeah.
For my limerick. Do you want to write a limerick about the dead dog Petra? You win a prize, prize.
Okay. Let me think of one.
Well, you have to think of one. I mean, I'm not going to do it live because I'm about to talk to Mark.
Alright,
can you think of one and call us back? Oh, you saw me. Could you do that?
Am I allowed to call back, though?
Yeah, of course you are, yeah. If you get a limerick, yeah, then call back with your limerick. You win a prize.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Alright, then, I'll go food shopping and think on the way there and then come back.
Alright, and change your mattress as well. It's dirty.
Yeah, it's me.
Okay.
See ya.
Okay, someone's died on it. Mark, hello?
Hello.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm bunking off this afternoon, so...
What are you bunking off from?
Well, work.
Well, yeah, what did you do?
Had a good day, good few meetings, and going home early. Don't tell anyone, though.
I won't tell anyone. What did you do, right. Mark?
I help advertising agencies make money. I look after their accounts and things like that.
Surely they can make money on their own.
Well, they can, but they lose it. You see, they spend it down the bars and everything, so I've got to keep control of it.
Yeah, so you're saying is, Mike, you're trying to dress it up, but you're an accountant.
Yes.
Yeah, you're just trying to make it sound more exciting.
But don't tell anything. I mean, the more I tell you, the more people will know I'm bunking off.
That's a good point, actually.
Anyway, I'm a big mattress fan. I've got a mattress story.
Oh, right. Can you, now, look, can you hold it? Because I've got to go to the news and stuff. But I do want to hear your mattress story, obviously.
It's very good. Very, very good.
In that case, we shall all now wait for your mattress story and we won't go anywhere.
Okay.
Mark, thank you for that. Blue Peter, have you got a Blue Peter badge? You can write as Blue Peter Limerick. 0870 90 90 973. This is LBC 97.3. And a different number to that one you just heard is 0870 90 90 973, and that's the number you can call to get straight through to us here in the studio at LBC 97.3. We will be doing the mystery quiz this afternoon. It's a slightly different mystery quiz today, but if you want to take part, keep listening, because the details will be coming up in the next half an hour. Also, we'll be playing Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 American Wasteland, not for the Nintendo DS, but for the radio. Meantime, I'm John Holmes. This is LBC 97.3. News is next. I'm pleased to say that limericks for the dead Blue Peter dog Petra are now coming in thick. Not fast, just thick. Notice, there was a Blue Peter dog Petra. John doesn't say John at the end, otherwise it wouldn't scan. I'll start that again. There was a Blue Peter dog Petra who would sit on your lap if you let her. Replaced in old age, she died in a rage after Labrador Goldie upset her. It's not bad, is it? It's not bad at all. That's from Anne Marie. It's very good. If you want to send us a Blue Peter limerick, we're doing this because I won a Blue Peter competition when I was a tiny child to write a limerick about the new Blue Peter dog, Goldie, that replaced Petra. I think it was. Or was it Shep? No, it was Petra. It was Petra. When I was a child. So, you know, we mentioned this yesterday, just in passing, at the end of yesterday's show, so I thought, well, that'd be good if we get a load of Blue Peter limericks about dead dogs in to the studio. We can give you actual prizes. Chris informs that there are actual prizes to give away for this. Petra and Goldie were dogs on TV. On kiddie shows, you were likely to see spit, poo and piddle. It was always a fiddle for the poor cameramen on the BBC. That's from Jamie. Thank you, Jamie. I don't know how we're going to judge this. I think probably somebody might get Alan Joyce to judge it. Yeah, he doesn't need much to do. He makes up travel, just makes it up, so he might as well do something for his money. There was some Blue Peter old woofers who sat at the feet of some duffers. I'm not going to read the end of that. Okay, so if you've got a Blue Peter limerick you want to send us for the about the dead dog Petra, text it 84850, email homes at lbc.com. code.uk, or you can ring us 087, do it yourself, 0870 90 90 973. There are proper prizes to give away. I think we've got some books that we're going to take off James O'Brien's desk. I think that's what Chris said, which is fine by me. Also, have you got a Blue Peter badge? I have, for my limerick. That's right. And also, what's in mattresses? That's the other thing. We just managed to, because Sarah was wallowing in some old skin that some old student left behind before she lived there. But mattresses, don't they contain something like 100 tons of dead flesh of creatures that maybe lived on that mattress before? Pillows, the same. There's some sort of scientific ruling about it. But Mark, I spoke to just before the news, who I've kept hanging on all this time like a git. Mark, hello.
Hello.
Sorry about all that stuff there.
It's all right. I've been lounging around in your green room. Lots of nice maidens and drinks. It's lovely.
Obviously,
yeah. No worries.
Interesting that you're calling us from the green room as opposed to just walking into the studio. That's
exactly.
Curious. So you've got a mattress tale, have you?
Well, it's a very short one. I hope it's worth waiting for.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Here's the mattress story. So a friend of mine is a PCSO, right? And she reckons...
A what? Back up?
Police Community Support Officer.
Thank you.
Right. They reckon that the CSI lot in the police can tell who's been sleeping on a bed. So they go in the morning and they'll scan the mattress, and from the mattress they end up saying, ah, I reckon this person slept here last night. So Alan Pardew, for example, sleeps on the bed. They can tell it was Alan Pardew who slept there. Gordon Brown, Tony Blair, you know?
Well, I don't think...
Like a fingerprint.
But that's just because of DNA samples, isn't it?
No, the shape, the imprints.
Because
an imprint, they're last. They can scan the 18 tons of body bits. You know, they can do that and do the DNA stuff, but this is, like, extra. They can just tell from the imprint.
What? So it's a shape?
So, yeah. So if someone was sleeping in, like, a rubber suit with no DNA, then they'll leave an imprint.
Which Tony Blair does do for security reasons.
Probably, yeah. Certainly Gordon Brown would at the moment with the police after him.
They are after him, yeah.
They are, yes. Mm. So, well, Alan Pardew, you know, Wenger would be, I guess.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So they can tell from an imprint of just the shape of... And you've got a friend that told you this?
Well, my friend is a PCSO.
Right. Is that like CSI?
Well, the people she was talking to were like the CSI.
Yeah, but that's... Yeah, you say that.
They come in with shaving brushes, don't they?
You know, CSI Miami, CSI Las Vegas...
CSI Ealing, in my case.
In your case, yeah.
But
your friend...
Dramatic,
but you don't get a programme called PCSO Miami, do you? PCSO...
No, but they're salt of the earth.
PCSO. Las Vegas. I'm not disputing that, Mark. I'm just saying that your evidence, if it was examined by an examiner, would, you know, not be as irrefutable as you'd probably like. Because, you've heard this third hand... From PCSO,
right.
And there's a reason that there isn't a programme called PCSO Miami, PCSO Ealing, PCSO Nuneaton. There's a reason for these things.
I guess what I'm saying is just be careful if you sleep around, because they can tell, you know, mattresses are
very... but you're then assuming, Mark, that someone, you know, is going to... Even if you just sleep around, so you're assuming someone's going to come in the morning, the person you're sleeping with is going to be... You know, so distraught by that they're going to call in, you know, what essentially a very expensive procedure, legal procedure.
Yeah, well, it won't be long, though. I mean, you look at the buses now, on the side of the bus it says, 4 out of 5 buses are fitted with CCTVs.
Yeah.
You know what? Don't need to bother. They can take an imprint off the seats now and see who was there. They could use the same technology and save all the cameras.
Yeah, but do you...
Equally,
they might
watch us in our bedrooms and say, who was sleeping in Mark's bedroom last night? And they'll go in and... Do the scan, I don't need the camera, let me see who was sleeping in my bed last night.
Who was sleeping in your bed last night, Mark?
Dave. Oh!
Dave?
No, I was out, though.
Dave? What, the Blue Peter tortoise, Dave?
No, don't do Blue Peter, I'm too old for that.
Are you?
Yeah, I remember John Noakes and Shep and everything, it was lovely.
Well, do you remember Petra dying?
No, I don't, that passed me by for some reason.
Did it?
I must have been at university that time.
Oh, very callous, Mark.
Passed me by, yeah.
Poor Petra. She got buried in the Blue Peter garden, you know.
Yeah.
Next to Percy Thrower. Percy Thrower died. Put him in there as well.
But if Sophie Ellis-Bextor slept in my bed, you know, they could soon discover that.
But she'd be an easy imprint because she's got a massive face.
Yeah.
Doesn't she? She's got a big, wide face. So, you know, you could tell... Sophie Ellis-Bextor walked in a door, you could tell, because it takes the side of the doors out.
There should be a new law that says only interesting-shaped people should commit crimes so that we can track them more easily when they sleep on people's beds.
Interesting.
That'd be good.
Thanks, Mark.
All right. That's it.
Thanks.
See you, John. Bye.
Yeah, Jonathan.
Hello? Oh, yep. Hello.
Hello.
Sorry, I didn't hear you say hello.
I didn't say hello. I just came to you.
Yeah, how are you all right?
I'm fine. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really well. I've got a really good limerick before I forget.
Is this a limerick, the Blue Peter limerick?
Yeah, can you remember they had a dog called Shep, didn't they?
Of course they did. Is it a clean limerick? That's why I'm...
Very clean.
Yeah, you sure?
Yeah, seriously, honestly. Right. No, will you dump me if it's not? They'll dump me.
Of course they'll dump me. That's what'll happen.
Yeah,
No swearing. No swearing, no. If it starts, there was a young dog called Buck, then I'm not interested in the rest of the limerick, is essentially what I'm saying to you. Right? That's not what I want.
Definitely called Shep.
Okay.
There once was a dog called Shep.
Yeah.
He used to be the Blue Peter pet.
Yeah.
Until one day he began to spray and they threw him out on his neck. That's not bad at all,
Jonathan. I like the way they threw him out on his neck as well. Not just threw him out, threw him out on his ear. Not that.
His ear. Well, it didn't rhyme with Shep.
No.
I see that now.
No, I like neck. They threw a man threw a dog out on its neck.
Yeah, yeah.
Which we're assuming, you know.
But it rhymed, didn't
snapped.
It? Did I get all the requirements for a limerick?
It certainly scanned like a limerick, didn't it?
It did, didn't it?
Yeah.
I was quite chuffed with that.
That's very impressive. That's very good.
Sorry, I'll get my sat nav. I'll switch her off.
Is that your sat nav? Where are you? Go on.
Yeah,
turn it up. I want to hear it.
I'm on the M25.
Press repeat. Make it say something.
Well, she's telling me to turn off now, but, well, I know I've got to turn off. So I want to answer her back.
If you know where you go, I do that with my sat-nav. Don't you talk back to it?
There she goes. Shut up, you tar. I know where I'm going.
I argue the hell out of my Santa. Because you know what? I drove through London. This is true. A couple of weeks ago, right, I had to go to the Cotswolds.
Right.
And I live in Kent, just outside London, right? And and I would normally go around the M25, of course. But then there was an accident, as usual, at Leatherhead.
Oh, always.
Every day, Leatherhead Junction, rubbish.
Guess where I'm going now. Guess which direction I'm heading.
Hang on, I can't hear it. Hold the phone near it.
Leatherhead.
Oh, yeah, of course you are, yeah, Leatherhead. See, there'll be an accident, there'll be a blockage.
It's Leatherhead. I'm waiting for the next travel news. When does he come out?
He's coming out in a minute, actually, not very long away at all.
Did he get my 6 out of 7 vote yesterday?
He did get your 6 out of 7, I was quite disappointed with it.
Yeah, was he? Well, I thought it was good. 6 is good.
Yeah.
It's above 50% of 60%.
Well, that's true. But, yeah, you know, still not good enough. Still not good enough for LBC. In fact,
I thought you could hire me to come in and spank him. He does sound lovely, doesn't he, Richard? Is it Richard Aikio?
No, it's Alan Joyce.
Oh, Alan, well, he sounds just as lovely.
Yeah, does he?
Yeah, I'd come in and take care of him, don't you worry.
It's a frightening thought. Well, I'll tell you what, if you get the best, if your limerick was the best one, your prize can be to come in and spank Alan Joyce. How about that?
Oh, wow, yes, please.
Excellent. On his travel bottom. Prize. My sat-nav, though, I decided I'd go straight through the centre of London as opposed to go around the M25. And I sort of knew the way, but I'd put the sat-nav on like an idiot. And what happened, my sat-nav was clearly a bit out of date, because where I knew, I couldn't turn right. The sat-nav was going, in 300 yards, turn right. And I was going, I can't, there's a sign, and I know I can't turn right. And it was going, in 300 yards, turn in 200 yards, turn in 100 yards, turn right, now turn right. And I'm going, no, I can't turn right! And then you go past it, takes it a minute, and then it goes, then you go, oh, it'll sort itself out in a minute, then it goes, please do a U-turn if possible. It isn't possible or legal!
You stupid idiot. Do you call it names? I call my names.
I do call it names, none of which I repeat on the radio. I call
idiot.
When I get really annoyed with it, I call it Alan Joyce.
Oh.
I just shout at it.
I call it a flaming idiot.
I just go, I can't turn right,
you
stupid Alan Joyce. Yeah, I shout like that, like a madman.
Oh, I hope he's got a good traffic report because I'm on my way tonight.
Tell you what, I'm going to get him to do it. Whereabouts are you? You're on the M25.
Yeah, on the M25.
Near Leatherhead.
Past the Heathrow Junction, Terminal 4, on my way to Leatherhead, yeah.
You're going around that way?
Yeah,
okay, you're going around Leatherhead. Right, fine. I'm going to get Alan to specifically look up where you are so he can speak to you personally. That's the sort of service we provide at LBC, Jonathan.
Oh, no, it's superb, sir. What was the bit about the mattress? I was out the van when you were talking about something about mattress stories.
Not like you to be out, Jonathan, but anyway, the mattresses, are mattresses full of dead flesh? I think they probably, I can't remember the rules, but there's something like a percentage of dead flesh that mattresses are now made of if you don't wash them or turn them or change them or something, and pillows the same. I just want to know about that. 0870 90 90973. Hello, this is LBC 97.3. I'm John Holmes, sitting in what can only be described as a chair. Oh, it's me again. I was taking a sip of tea.
You're
going to
shout at me now, then, are you? Go
no,
on.
Alan.
Yeah?
I was taking a sip of tea. Can you, Jonathan is coming from Heathrow, the junction round by Heathrow.
Yes.
Junction 4, I think he said, on the
M25. I think he said he was going from Leatherhead towards Heathrow.
No, I thought he said the other way.
Did he?
I think so, yeah.
Obviously,
pay attention. Okay. Right, so he's coming round that way. So, can you specifically, using his name, Jonathan, can you specifically tell him what's waiting for him on the M25?
Jonathan, I can tell you at the moment, I'm looking at the.
That's me. So, what's this on the text here then? Hi, John. This is the limerick. Oh, yeah. Goldie the Blue Peter dog knew how to make good use of a log. He cocked up his leg for relief to beg. Doesn't quite scan. It was his version of the bot. That's rubbish. Not going to win with that. John, I've heard that your prize pool on LBC is running low. If so, can I interest you in two portions of breath? There are two varieties, one with a hint of mint, one with a hint of garlic. Limited number left, being reduced daily. That's awesome. Tony, there are prizes to give away today. I can tell you that. There are prizes. For two competitions, neither of which I've launched yet. But one is the mystery competition, which I will be doing after I've probably... Before 4 o'clock, I will try and launch the mystery competition for today. We're also playing Tony Hawks's Pro Skater 3 American Wasteland for the radio. Again, details coming up. But I do have four DVD box sets of television to give away this afternoon. So if you want to be with a chance of winning, you can register to play. 0870 90 90. No, not some nine, some O's, and a nine and a seven and a three at the end. Someone who's called that number is here now. Hello, who are you? Hello?
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 Hi.
Hello, who are you?
Oh, my name's Manish.
Hello, Manish. Nice to meet you.
Hi.
Where are you calling from?
I'm in Northwood.
Okay. And what can we do for
you? Regarding your mattress question.
Mattress question, yeah.
What's in it?
What's in an old mattress?
Well, I wouldn't say an old one, probably a 6-month-old one.
6 months? Is that all?
Yeah.
Go on then.
It takes about 6 months to put about 1/2 kilo of dead skin in it.
1/2 kilo?
Yeah.
Of dead skin in 6 months?
Over a year, you probably put a couple of 100 litres of sweat in it as well.
A couple of 100 litres?
Well, not in it, but you sweat in it.
So it becomes a waterbed?
Well, no, it evaporates after a while, though.
Oh, but it wouldn't evaporate with, just evaporate with a smell, wouldn't it?
Well, it's smell, yeah, eventually. That's why you get that bedroom smell.
That's horrible.
Yeah. And, well, I remove them for a living, so I know a little bit.
You remove mattresses?
No, I remove the bugs and dust mites.
Oh, I was going to say. Because otherwise, I thought when you meant, you know, because someone had probably rotted into their own mattress and you had to remove the mattress from them.
Well, I'm not sure about that.
Like probably. In those fat people documentaries you get.
Yes.
So what? So you go and clean mattresses? Mattress eye? Yeah.
I don't remove stains, though.
Oh, God, no. No, imagine. I bet you see some, though, don't you?
You do, yeah.
Do you ever ask what they are?
No, I'm not interested in that.
No, it's probably best you don't,
isn't it? I'd rather not.
No. So what do you do? How do you clean a mattress, Manish?
Well, I have an ultraviolet light, which kills the mites and stops them reproducing.
Right.
And basically vacuum up all the mess that's inside there. And then spray it with a spray. Stop them coming back.
I'd spray it with fire if I were you. It sounds like you could do
that. That's probably the ultimate thing if you're really inclined to do that.
So how busy are you? I mean, do you get a lot of people phoning you up?
Well, I've only recently started doing it, but the business itself in the country has been going for about 4 years.
Right, because I reckon most people listening, and I'm pretty sure I'm confident saying this, I'd say most people listening have never had their mattress cleaned, and they've had it for a lot longer than 6 months.
Well, no, they haven't, because in the old days, you used to take it outside and give it a good beating, didn't you?
Yeah, it's true.
But these days, with central heating and whatnot...
You know, which is now what you do with elderly parents.
Well, you might with yours.
Yeah, well, they need keeping a line, you know. If they're not going to... If my mum dirties, you know, doesn't clean my mattress, then that's what happens. Thank you, Manish.
You take her outside and beat her, then.
That's all they deserve. I'm joking, of course, before she phones in and goes, what are you talking about? No, well, look, I... that's interesting. Is that probably one of the worst jobs in the world, Manish, though, is it?
Do you think? Probably undocking sewers or something isn't it?
Well, that's a good question. Is cleaning up other people's dirty skin out of a mattress the worst job ever?
Well, it can be quite nasty if the bag bursts or something, but...
If what?
If the vacuum bag bursts.
Oh, the vacuum bag. I thought you meant, like, you know, the person on the bed bag, if it was a pensioner or something.
Oh, dear.
That would be horrible. So what's you've got a list of clients, right?
I've got I wouldn't say a huge list of clients.
Right.
I do domestic work mainly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to, name the person with the dirtiest mattress you've ever cleaned on the radio?
No, I'd rather not. Not on the radio.
No? Could you tell them off air and, you know?
Tell you off air?
Yeah.
Well, no point really, because then you'll just go and say on air.
No, I would never do that.
I haven't seen anything particularly bad at the moment, because the area I service is reasonably fine.
Yeah. Which is the worst area for dirty mattress eye?
Oh, I wouldn't know. I don't cover the whole of London, I just cover West London.
Yeah.
But the area I'm in, fairly affluent.
Yeah. Or effluent, it sounds like.
Could be effluent, yeah.
Well, that's...
No, I'm just trying to get people to sort of become aware of it, that they don't clean it and what's in it and so on.
That's
the main obstacle.
No, you're right, it's about raising awareness, which I like to think this afternoon we've now done, in many ways.
I used to suffer from eczema, and I didn't mind cleaning and everything, I don't have it anymore.
So that's what it is?
Oh, yeah, it aggravates eczema, asthma, bronchitis, all that sort of stuff.
Because it's mites and it's bits of old skin.
Well, it's the excrement from the mites that actually aggravates it.
Oh.
It's not the mites themselves.
Oh, no.
So, there you go.
Did you remember that time on Blue Peter when a mite pooed on John Noakes? Do you remember that?
When a mite? No.
An elephant did, and then a couple of weeks later...
Oh, yeah, I remember elephant.
The Blue Peter mite just pooed on John Noakes' foot.
Oh, really?
and gave him athlete's foot.
Athlete's foot. Oh, fine. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Manesh, look, thanks for your call. That's, you know, I'm interested. So have you had your mattress cleaned? Have you changed it over in 6 months? Because if you haven't, it's got half, I think you said half a ton of dead mites and flesh in it. So phone us if you've ever changed your mattress or not, or something. I don't know. 0870 90 90 973. Hello, I'm John Holmes, sitting in for Mr. Ian Lee.
A Chanel dress.
Come here on the text, but it's good up until the fourth line, and then it sort of goes a bit wrong. But about Petra the dead Blue Peter dog, and it goes like this. It goes, Petra was a Blue Peter pet. She died peacefully, so said the vet. They buried her in a casket made of sticky back plastic. Nice. This is where it goes wrong. But Goldie dug her up, and then she got et. That doesn't really... The end line lets it down for me. I don't know, but, you know, apparently Chris says we've got prizes to give away for the best limerick about a dead dog that you can make up this afternoon. 0870 90 90 973. You can text them. 84850. Holmes@lbc.co.uk is the email. There once was a Blue Peter dog called Petra who would lick her own... Right, apart from the fact that doesn't scan at all, Ryan, in Battersea, how would a female dog have... two of those things that you wrote there. It's not physically possible. Michael, hello.
Hiya, how you doing?
I'm fine, how are you?
I'm very good, thanks.
Good. How good out of 10 are you?
7.
That's pretty good.
Thanks.
Where are you calling from?
Perthley.
Perthley. What are you doing today, specifically today? What are you doing?
Not a lot at the moment. I finished work about 45 minutes ago.
What did you do?
I'm an electrician.
Okay, what have you... What? Finished work 45 minutes ago?
I'm an electrician.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah, sorry, yeah, of course you are. I realise that. And what, you started probably about 55 minutes ago?
More or less.
Did 10 minutes?
10 minutes hard labour.
5 minutes, that was a tea break. Call it a day.
Yeah.
What have you been wiring up today?
An electric meter. A couple of electric meters.
Right. If you wired... You're an electrician, you'll know this. If I went to the Blue Peter Garden now... Not right. Now, so on the radio, but later, after this show finishes, right? If I went to the Blue Peter Garden and I dug up Petra, the dead Blue Peter dog, right, yeah. And you came with me, would it be possible to electrically reanimate the dog? To make it, like, you know, look like it was alive. Not for long, but long enough for us to get a photo for the LBC website.
Oh, in theory, yeah. I presume it would be, yeah.
Because you'd only have to wire... Like, you clip some crocodile clips to one back foot, I'm thinking, and then it's snout, and then you could probably
just pump
pass enough current through it to make it jig. And then we could have a photograph for the... Chris could film it on his video camera. Put it on the LBC website. Would that be possible, Michael, as an electrician? Speaking as an electrician.
Yeah, I think it would be, yeah. You'd have to put a lot of voltage through it, but I think in theory it's possible, yeah.
Okay, that's... Let's solve that one, then. Anyway, have you got limerick?
I have, yeah.
Go on, then.
Okay,
is it... It's not rude first, is it?
No, it's not. It's not.
Okay, that's fine. Go on, then.
Okay. When Petra from Blue Peter died, I couldn't help it. I cried.
Nice.
I became increasingly sad when the presenter went mad and made a doll's house from Petra's insides.
Michael, that's very good.
Thanks.
I think you could be in with a chance of winning whatever Chris has stolen off James O'Brien's desk this afternoon.
Okay. That's good.
Good work, thank you for that. And also, if we do go to the Blue Peter Garden, if you can meet me after the show and bring some electricity, then we will attempt to reanimate the dead dog Petra. If you've got a limerick about Petra, lots are coming in, I will be reading them out. There are prizes. 0870 90 90 973. I'm also, after the news, talking about being mugged. Hello, John Holmes, in for Ian Lee. So, once again, then, we dive helplessly onto the carpet of today's mystery quiz. Yesterday's prize of a luxury mind diving holiday on LBC presenter Gary King has been withdrawn, I'm afraid. This is partly due to legal reasons, partly due to the collapse of both the travel company and also Gary's pelvic floor. It happened during a training dive last night with too many novices crowded round his reef for a trying to get a good look at his monkfish. So instead, we've hastily arranged an alternative for today's prize. It's an all-inclusive skiing mini-break on Steve Allen. That's right, two lucky winners will get an all-expenses-paid trip to the upper slopes of Steve Allen. All equipment is free, including ski hire, helmet and spear gun. All you have to do is enter today's mystery competition. You'll have two practice skis on Steve's nursery slopes, and then when you've mastered those, you can have a go at his piste. Lift passes are also included, so you can get up him, and on the Sunday, you can toboggan across his arse. So, an excellent prize, I think you'll agree. Two people, luxury skiing mini break on Steve Allen. But what you have to do, what do you have to do to win it? Well, today's a cryptic film quiz. I'm going to play you three sound effects. And from them, you need to work out the name of a well-known actor. I'll tell you how to do it, but here come the sounds. Okay, three sounds there. So that's a thunderclap. What was the middle one? It's a whistle. It was a whistle, thunderclap, a whistle, and then a big kiss. And this is how to work out to do the quiz. All you have to do is you have to listen carefully to those, and then you have to reverse them. Then you take the second letter of each reversed effect. But because they're reversed, that's the second letter from the end. Right? And then you have to put them together. Take away the number that you started with, and that will give you the name of a well-known celebrity. Okay, let's hear the sounds again. Right, take the second letter of each of those effects when you've reversed them. Second letter from the end of each effect, because we've reversed them. Put them together, take away the number you started with, that will give you the name of a well-known celebrity. 84850 or homes at lbc.co.uk. If you want to win two tickets, it's a luxury skiing holiday on the upper slopes of Steve Allen. That's up for grabs this afternoon. So you can text us or you can email us. Philip.
Good afternoon, John.
How are you, Philip, there?
Very well, John.
Good. It's lovely to talk to you again.
You were talking earlier on about Blue Peter.
I was talking about Blue Peter.
Well, I remember one occasion when they had as a special guest, and they flew in from America, the most famous cat in the world.
Now, don't tell me, the most famous cat in the world?
Yes. And they had him in the studio, and they asked him questions.
Top Cat?
Yes.
Come on.
They brought Arnold Stang over, who is the voice.
Indeed.
Top Cat. And he was in the studio, and it was fascinating, because have you ever seen Arnold Stang?
I've never seen him, no. Obviously, I'm very familiar with his work and his voice and stuff, but I've never seen him. What does he look like?
He's a very small man with, I don't know if he's still around, a very small man with glasses, and it's fascinating to hear the voice that doesn't fit with your, I mean, I'd seen him in films.
Yeah.
But, it's amazing how voices are different from what you imagine.
Well, isn't it? Because everyone's probably listening to this, Philip, imagining you as a... I mean, I've never met you, but I've obviously spoken to you quite a few times, and I'm imagining you as a sort of suave, sort of Leslie Phillips type.
Well...
I'd see you in an open-top car, sort of an old Genevieve type one.
No, that's pretty clear.
With a monocle, and perhaps a pipe, and some tweed, and I see you as a very sort of sophisticated, gentleman around town.
Oh, yes. That's a pretty good guess.
Well, there we go. That's not bad. How would you see me, do you think? How would that, from my voice?
It's very, very difficult. Tall.
Right, nice. Already a good start, yeah.
Yes. Oh, dear. it's difficult to say this. You say things, tall.
Yeah.
Thin.
Nice.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
It's very, very difficult.
Isn't it hard? Isn't it really? I mean, if you want to look at a photograph of me, Philip, you can go to my website and have a look.
You're the website?
Oh, yeah, johnholmes.net.
Oh, right.
Plugging that now.
I'll have to check that out.
It's John without an H, johnholmes.net.
Oh, and there was one other character, John, that was in the Top Cat series.
Yeah.
Probably even more famous than Top Cat.
Benny.
With Benny.
Yeah.
Played by the wonderful Maurice Godsfield.
Well, so I didn't know that.
Met with the guy who was Doberman in Bilko.
Because Top Cat was based on Bilko, wasn't it?
Well, it was, yes. Because a lot of people to this day still think that Phil Silvers was the voice, but he wasn't.
But it actually wasn't him.
No, no, it was, as I say, old Arnold, though, I mean, he was in that wonderful film, It's a Mad, 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 Mad World.
Yes.
And he even made a record called Where You Calling From, Charlie, in which he holds a conversation with himself over the phone.
Really? I've not heard that.
Yeah. I've got a copy of it. I don't know, I might have a look and see if I can find it.
Oh, if you can dig it out, we'd like to hear it, Philip. That'd
I'll
be great.
I'll try and find it and play a bit of it.
Officer Dibble.
Yeah, I think that was Alan Jenkins, wasn't it?
God, you see, your knowledge of this cartoon is very good. With this knowledge, you are spoiling us, Philip.
I remember Alan Jenkins. He was in a sitcom with an English actress called Jeannie. Oh, dear, the name's gone. But, yeah, he was. He actually looked like Officer Dibble.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when you see these cartoons, I mean, the two, I believe they're gone now, Dawes Butler.
Yeah.
And Don Messick, who did all the voices, majority of the voices for the Bilko characters. The one I liked, John, I don't know if you ever saw it.
Go on.
Did you ever see Funky Phantom?
No. God, never even heard of it.
Oh, that was a brilliant... It was based on the old Canterfield Ghost.
Right.
This guy was released from a grandfather clock, and he helped... Very similar to Scooby-Doo, in the fact that he helped these kids to solve mysteries of ghosts.
Yeah.
It was around in the 70s.
Scooby-Doo was good up until Scrappy-Doo, wasn't it? Everyone says that.
I mean, why did that? Because, I mean, the people in, Casey Kasem.
Voice of Shaggy.
Oh, yes.
Casey Kasem.
Yeah, I mean, when he used to have all them jumpers, America's...
He did that programme, didn't he, on ITV? America, what was it?
America's Top Ten.
America's Top Ten. He used to go, keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
I mean, he had a radio show for years in America, which was called America's Top 40.
Yeah. And it was distilled for Britain for just Top 10, was it?
Yeah, that's right. And this was a radio programme, and it ran for 3 hours. And each week he used to count down...
If only that was a reality round here, Philip.
Yes, it would. I mean...
3.5, we have to do.
I mean, yes, it's fascinating when you, as I say, when you see these voices, and, I mean, that going back to that Funky Phantom, one of the voices was Mickey Dolenz of the Monkees.
Oh,
yes, but it's,
See, you're a Philip, I love it when you ring up. You're an absolute mine of information.
I just enjoy, these little bit snippets.
This is, I come along, I'm trivial, talk rubbish. You come along, you fill it with information and stuff that I'm interested in. Philip, thanks very much for ringing. I've got to take a break, but it's a pleasure as ever to talk to you. 0870 90 90 973 if you want to cut. It seems about more or less anything. There are 100 subjects this afternoon. Give us a call.
Roast chicken should have a tasty crisp...
A lot of answers coming in, a lot of suggestions coming in for today's mystery quiz. All you have to do is identify the mystery celebrity from these sound effects. These sound effects, Chris? These sound effects. Chris wasn't even paying attention. He was picking his nose. Wasn't paying attention. Those sound effects. All you have to do is this. I want you to you listen to those three sound effects. Take the second letter of each effect, but reverse it. So the effects are the other way around. Second letter from the end, then, because they've been reversed. Put them together. Take away the number you started with. That will give you the name of a well-known celebrity. 84850, homes@lbc.co.uk. Prize for getting that right today... is a skiing mini-break on the upper slopes of Steve Allen. It's a very, very good price. All expenses paid, of course. All equipment free, including ski hire, helmet and spear gun. Two practice skis included on Steve's nursery slopes. When you've mastered those, you can have a go at his piste. Not, as someone texted just in now, how about his brown run? No, not on that. You just get his piste and his nursery slopes. Lift passes are also included, so you can get up him. And on Sunday, you can toboggan across his back area. So that are two tickets. Two people can go on a luxury skiing mini break on the lower slopes of Steve Allen. If you want to enter today's mystery sound effects quiz, and it's these sound effects. If you know what it is, 84850 or homes@lbc.co.uk. John, is it Robert De Niro in Taxi Driver Challenge? No, it isn't, but I like your thought there. John, Roy Walker from Catchphrase. I'm convinced it's Roy Walker from Catchphrase. Oh, Dan, Dan on the M25, you're very close, Dan, with that, but I think what you've got the reverse, you haven't gone back far enough in the bit where you have to reverse the sound effects. You need to go back a bit further, and it will give you the initials, and you will eventually then get to the name. Is the mystery celebrity Anna Rayburn, and if I win, I want to go on the lower slopes of Steve Allen, and that's from Tripod. I'm afraid the prize... Tripod isn't the lower slopes, it's the upper slopes of Steve Allen only, but that's fine. Lots of limericks coming in for the Dead Blue Peter dog as well. I will read some more of those out. But the other question I was going to ask, the other question, because this is why this whole thing cropped up yesterday, this is why I'm talking about it, is because Petra phoned up, not the dead dog, but the pharmaceutical sales lady, and she said, that talked about a Blue Peter baby, which I don't remember. I don't remember Blue Peter having a baby, so it was clearly before my time. Did Blue Peter have a baby that they had? Because apparently they didn't. Apparently it was called Daniel. Lots of people are sort of texting in going, well, yeah, John, there was a Blue Peter, if I can find it, there was a Blue Peter baby called Daniel. Here we go. What's this? It was adopted. His name is Daniel Scott. This is from Kevin in Harrow. Daniel Scott was adopted by presenters John Noakes and Valerie Singleton in 1968. Became the Blue Peter baby. No wonder I don't remember it. Became the Blue Peter baby when he was aged 14 weeks. He made regular appearances on the show until he was 2. It was later revealed that he dropped out of school and taken drugs. He grew up to be Richard Bacon. He didn't. I made that end up. But, yeah, he was called Daniel. And brilliantly, someone else who agrees that he was called Daniel has sent another poem. This isn't a limerick. Oh, actually, it is a limerick. Actually, it is. Of all the Blue Peter babies, there's an asterisk saying artistic license. I'm assuming more than one Blue Peter baby existed. But of all that, this is good. Of all the Blue Peter babies, 'twas Daniel who contracted rabies. He was bitten by Petra and Goldie, etc. Joined the Damned and now jams with rat scabies. Now that is good. That's using the dogs and the baby in one limerick. That is out there in a dead dog limerick lead. Peter, hello.
Oh, hi.
Hello.
Yeah, first time caller.
Are you? What, to this or to the... to ever? Have you never used a
ever.
Phone before?
I've never done a single radio... ever.
Oh, right, but you've never... No, but you know, when you say first time caller, you have used a phone before.
Yeah, I have.
Thank God, because otherwise this could get really awkward. Because the protocols could be all wrong.
Nah,
which end are you talking into?
I'm talking to a receiver.
No, you don't want to talk to the receiver, do you?
No.
You want to listen through the receiver. See, you've gone wrong already. You want to talk into the transmitter bit, and you want to listen via the receiver. Peter.
Oh, God.
You are really, you're a first-time phone user, aren't you?
Yeah.
Where are you calling from?
Sunbury-on-Thames.
First time there?
No, I've been living, what, sorry, where?
In Sunbury-on-Thames.
Oh, no, I've been in Sunbury for, over 11 years.
Have you? What do you do, Peter?
I'm a student at Brooklands College. I study, I'm doing a double A-level in IT.
A double A-level?
Yeah.
In IT?
Yeah.
Double A-level?
Mm-hmm.
There's no such thing, Peter. You made that up.
No, it's a double award A-level.
What does that mean?
It means it's basically, there's 6 units, and for every, and there's, the single, there'd be 3 units, it's and quite, I get 1 A-level.
It's quite boring, Peter,
and I'm doing,
it?
I'm just doing a double.
It's quite dull. Peter, when I was at school...
Yeah.
Right, A levels quite hard. When I did my A levels, quite hard. Right, are we to assume that what really was the difficulty of when I got an A level is now so easy today's time that it just becomes automatically comes a double A level, even though my day was just an A level? Is that what's happened? Is it easier for you, Peter? Is what I'm saying.
Actually, no, I find the work quite difficult. Really.
Do you? Yeah, but is that because it's difficult or because you're thick?
No, it's because I've got classmates that. Mm. Constantly tell me to look at this.
Do they, what, on the internet?
Yeah.
So you've got distractions, Peter, being a student, and especially an IT one. Because when I was at school and stuff, the only distraction I had was the looking through the slightly transparent blouse of the girl in front of me to see her bra strap. That's all I got. Now you can do what you like now. You look at that on the internet. Yeah, and more. You can look at nudie on the internet. So you've got it easy, Peter. You've got pornography at your fingertips, Peter, on the internet. When I was young, I used to have to try and find old porn magazines in hedges. Does that still happen? Do you remember that? Is that just me? That's just me, isn't it? I'm of that age, clearly. But this is true, Peter. In our day, before the internet was invented, when I was, like, you know, just getting to, you know, foxy adolescence, Peter.
Mm.
pornography wasn't even available on the internet. You couldn't get it anywhere. It was only in magazines. And I was too short to go and buy them and didn't look old enough. You know, so what you had to do, if you wanted your fix, people used to leave it in hedges. It was weird. In fields, people used to put porn, magazine pictures, torn out of magazines, in hedges, in parks. Have you ever heard of that? Have you ever heard the like, Peter?
Pardon?
Have you ever heard the like of that?
No.
It's true, though. Honestly, I really hope that's not just me, but if you, maybe you remember that as well. 0870 90 90 973 if you do. So, Peter, you've got a limerick.
Yeah, it's actually my mum's limerick. She was in the car driving and we were listening in and...
Okay. So she's not brave enough to read it out herself?
No, it's just that I want to do it.
Okay, no, fine. Good. Go on, then. Okay. So she's written it, but you're reading it out?
Yeah.
What's your mum's name?
My mum's name's Janice.
Janice, right.
She's probably listening downstairs.
Okay. Well, is that where her ears are?
Sorry.
Nothing.
Do you want to hear the limerick?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Old Petra, the favourite dog, chased a ball under a fallen log.
Yeah.
It yelped and it cried, then it suddenly died and croaked like a veritable frog. That's it.
All right. That's not bad, Peter. Actually, is it? I'd say that was pretty good. It's got the word dog, it's got a frog.
Yeah, I have to thank my mum for that.
You know, your mum wrote it.
Yeah.
She's obviously talented.
I wrote it down, she was just thinking of
she
it.
She dictated?
Yeah.
Okay, well it's good, I think it's good. I'm not sure it beats the one about the damned and rat scabies and the...
No,
Petra
I don't think anything could top that at the moment.
Thing, but it was good. It was, honestly Peter, it was very good. I mean, we have got prizes that Chris promises me he'll send out to everyone who calls in today.
Oh, is there a chance that I could get an autograph or some...
Of who?
You.
Not me. I can't... It's really embarrassing. God, Peter, you dragged something up now. It's really embarrassing. I've lost my hands in an accident.
Huh?
I can't... I've got... I mean, you know, like, Abu Hamza has hooks. Peter.
Okay.
I've got hooked hands and I can't write my name. But I'll tell you what, I'll get James O'Brien to send you his. He can write.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, cheers, Peter.
Okay, thanks.
That's cool. All right, bye. 0870 90 90 973 is the number. 84850 if you want to text us or email Holmes, Holmes, at lbc.co.uk. I'm John Holmes. This is LBC 97.3. Think now. Press the...
Shoot!
I am that. 0870 90 90 973 is the number to call if you want to play Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3, American Wasteland, this afternoon. I haven't launched it yet, but we will do. Or you can try and guess today's mystery quiz. Or we're talking Blue Peter, but I will also talk mugging. That's all coming up in the next half an hour. Here's the news headlines with Claire Miller. Holmes. I got some post earlier. Arrived at the studio this afternoon, just ready for the show. And Chris said, "John, there's some post for you downstairs. Something." I assumed it was, you know, anthrax in a jiffy bag or similar. But no, it turns out I've got it here. And so this was brought upstairs, and someone just put it on a, you know, I've got my own desk. Obviously, I just, you know, sit where someone else doesn't when I turn up. And someone, they just put it on my desk. So there you go, that arrived. And it says, I'll read what it says on the envelope to you. It says, "John Holmes, the Steve Allen Show. LBC 97.3 FM, second floor, Christie's Building, 13 Brown Road, London." But the interesting bit of that, of course, is John Holmes, the Steve Allen Show. What? I've never been on the Steve Allen Show, or on Steve Allen. Neither of those things have I been on. So, I don't really have an association with Steve Allen. But no, John Holmes, the Steve Allen Show. Comes this parcel. So I opened it. I've got it here. So I opened the parcel. Already I'm confused. So I opened the parcel. Inside the parcel, the first thing I notice is this. It's a scarf in a plastic bag, but it's no ordinary scarf. It's a Rupert the Bear designed scarf. It's yellow with black check on it. It looks like Rupert the Bear's scarf. Oh, that looks like Rupert the Bear's scarf. It's a nice scarf. You're absolutely right, Chris. It's merino wool and cashmere mix. It's an expensive scarf. It's a nice scarf. I am going to take that, even though it might have been meant for someone else. But the other thing, then I pull out a Rupert the Bear press kit. So it's to promote, of course it is, it's to promote Rupert the Bear being on something. I've not read it, and neither will I, but it's something to do with Rupert the Bear. But essentially, I'm on here brilliant, 3 days in, free stuff. But what I'm concerned about is that it says John Holmes, the Steve Allen Show, which puzzles me no end. I don't know where that came from. I mean, I've met him, but I've never been on him or his show. But weirdly, of course, by coincidence, today's prize for the mystery quiz is a weekend mini break skiing on the upper slopes of Steve Allen. So if you would think you can guess what, I see, we should hear the sounds again. Here are three sound effects. Okay. There's three sound effects. All you've got to do is listen carefully to those, then reverse them. Take the second letter of each reversed effect. So that's the second letter from the end because they've been reversed. Put them together. Take away the number you started with. That will give you the name of a well-known celebrity. If you can work that out, who is that celebrity? 84850, holmes@lbc.co.uk. You can... There's another one saying... I think... Oh, no. Is it Petra? No, it's not Petra. Clearly, that's a different subject altogether. But we've that subject aside, and there are many limericks, both of those things, are coming into the studio now at a rate of one. So, but I mentioned finding pages from adult magazines as a child in hedges, and Martin has called in for the M25. Hello, Martin.
Yeah, hi, John. Just to comment on your finding in the hedges, I used to do that as well, I remember. But also, I lived in Streatham, and when I was about 8, my dad used to take me to this barber shop
yeah.
for my hair to be cut.
Yeah.
And when I was 8 and quite small, they used to be up on the board across the seat on the chair. Anyway, yeah. when you used to walk into the barbers, you used to watch all the guys sitting there, and they all had their eyes averted to the ceiling, so they're all looking upwards.
Yeah, okay. What, so the chairs are leaning back a bit?
Yeah, and a yep. kid of 8, I walk in there, look up in the sky, see what they're looking at, and the whole ceiling is plastered with pictures from Parade, which is a really old magazine of years ago.
Is it? Does that still exist, Parade?
I don't think so.
No? Because
that's what they're all looking at whilst waiting for their hair to be cut.
That's good. There's a restaurant in London, Martin. I can't remember which one it is, but I think it's near the Old Witch Theatre. And it's kind of, you walk in, it's like a set from Tomb Raider. But in the toilets there... Oh, I can't remember the name of it. Someone will phone in and tell me. I know, but you walk in and it's kind of. I think it's not Turkish, but it's kind of it's some kind of Moroccan or something like that restaurant. But the toilets in there, same thing. Plastic. The gents anyway. I've not been in the ladies, but obviously that'd be pervy. But the gents, the wallpaper just is pictures of nudie ladies. So I wonder if it's the same in the ladies of that restaurant. Can't remember the name of the restaurant. If someone knows, has been there, 087, usual thing, number. But Martin, did I thought it was just me that remembers sort of, you know, getting out as kids when I was younger, before the internet existed, when I was about, you know, 10 or 11, and just coming into the, you know, the age when I was interested in the ladies, Martin. I remembered seeing, you know, we used to find pornography in hedgerows.
Well, I don't remember it.
Why did that? Because you don't see that anymore, do you?
I remember it being screwed up and sort of stuffed in hedges.
That's right.
And even flattened, it was all wet because the rain had got to it as well.
That's right. And you had to try and you took it home and tried to iron it surreptitiously to look at the pictures. Do you think, and I've heard someone talk about this before, it's a comedian friend of mine, I can't remember who it is, and I apologise for quoting his material because this is just coming to my mind now, but who leaves it in there? Is it the porn fairy, someone once said to me, which I thought was very good. But yeah, who did? Why was it there? I had a friend called Neil Dewar, and once at school he brought in some, he smuggled in some adult reading material, shall we say, Martin, rolled up like a spy in old Smarties tubes. And at break time he'd go, I'm going to get the Smarties. And he'd come out of break, and we'd all sort of huddle around the bike shed, and he'd get the Smarty tube out, and then we'd, you know, unravel what to us was a bit, you know, nudie lady picture at that age, and we'd sort of, you know, giggle at it and wonder why we felt a bit funny, and then, and if a teacher came over, he was like, no, it's just sharing Smarties, miss, sharing Smart. And we had to hope that the teacher never asked for any Smarties because they'd just got a handful of porn. If that happened, that'd be just embarrassing. So, but you remember it as well, Martin, not just me.
I do, yeah. Okay.
That's brilliant. Thanks for that, though.
Okay, cheers.
Thanks for that, Martin. I am 25 there, remembering old porn. Kids today, frankly, have it easy. Anyway, knock that over. Blue Peter, limericks. I got a Blue Peter badge for writing a limerick about the dead dog Petra. Loads of you. I'm kind of running, you know, this has been now running for almost two. I don't know how this has kept going so long, Chris, to be honest. I expected it to last 5 minutes, but it has. There once was a dog on TV who was gorgeous, I'm sure you'll agree. Such beautiful eyes, ears, wet nose, and thighs. Oh, why did you have to leave me? That's from Andy. And then also under that, there's someone who said, Connie Hook from Blue Peter. She's gorgeous, which I think is probably tied in with the wet nose thing. And yeah, she is, actually. And do you know, I think I've got the same agent as her. Should know that, shouldn't I? I think I have. But you know, I've never met her. And like I was saying yesterday about Emma Bunton. Incidentally, Chris, where are we on hiring, getting Emma Bunton this week?
I'm working on it.
Okay. Tomorrow, isn't Thursday normally a music day or something?
Yes.
Yeah, well.
Make it happen.
Can we get Emma Bunton?
I'll see what I can do.
She is doing the round. She's doing the celebrity. She's promoting her Children in Need single, isn't she?
Can't you meet Connie Hook, though, at the Christmas party?
Yeah, but that's... Yes, I'm hoping that that might happen. But, in the meantime, get Bunton. She's on the circuit of, you know, chatting on radio stations. At the moment. Get her.
Working on it.
Get her in tomorrow. Okay. Chris, then. So, tomorrow, I'm going to say it officially. Officially, on the show tomorrow, Emma Bunton, live in the studio. Is that right, Chris? Can I say that? Yeah. Why? Get her. She's doing everyone else's show. Get her on this one. Come on. Who will sue us? She won't. She did Jonathan Ross at the weekend. Today, she's doing BBC Radio Kent, for goodness sake. So why wouldn't she want to come and do this? Well, this is bigger than Southern Counties, isn't it? This is London's premier radio station. This is LBC 97.3. If you gave me the choice, Bunton would come on here.
Leave it with me.
Emma Bunton, tomorrow, our guest on this programme. Is the mystery celebrity Desperate Dan? John. Well, actually, that's not bad. Let's have a listen to the clues. Very, very close, Dan. It's not. Your name isn't Dan, but you said Desperate Dan. It's not Desperate Dan. It's neither Engelbert Humperdinck Barry from Surbiton, I'm afraid. You've got way off there. All you got to do is listen carefully to those effects, take the second letter of each one, reverse it, put them together, take away the number you started with. That will give you the name of a well-known celebrity. If you get that right, you will win a luxury mini skiing break on the upper slopes of Steve Allen. 84850, holmes@lbc.co.uk. I am John Holmes, and this is LBC 97.3.
Arsenal Football Club's former home at...
Petra's eaten her last tin of chum. Biddy Baxter was struck dumb. Chris Trace was in tears while John knocked back some beers, and Val Singleton fell on her bum. That's from June. Right, good. That's not very good. But it doesn't matter, June, because you've brought up some interesting points there. Chris Trace, for instance. Now, was he the Blue Peter presenter who got fired for being in... See, I'm not just throwing this show together, Chris. A Blue Peter presenter was fired for being in a porn film. True. I think Chris Trace was one of the first... I don't think it was him. I'd be libelling him if I said it was. But there was one. I'm sure there was a Blue Peter presenter who was fired for being in a porn film. I'm sure that's true. But I can't remember who it was. Who the hell was that? Maybe it was one of the Blue Peter tortoises. Can't remember. But, if you know, 08709090973. Also, that restaurant in London that's near, I think it's near the Old Theatre, it's Moroccan or something, but it's very ornate inside. It looks a bit like a level of Tomb Raider, and it's got pornography in the toilets just on the wallpaper. But I can't remember where it is. But if you know, let me know, because I might go there later. 08709090973. And if you tell me if you tell me which restaurant it is and get it and rightly, I'll take you. Can't say fairer than that, can I? I'll take the person who tells me which restaurant has got the porny wallpaper. I'll take them to that restaurant tonight. How good is that? Peter, hello.
Hello, John. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
Yeah, very well, mate. Very well.
Where are you calling from?
At the moment, stuck in traffic on Seven Sisters Road.
Seven Sisters Road.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that Bon Jovi have a song called Seven Sisters Road?
No, I didn't.
They do, though. But it's not the one in London. I think it's one in Japan.
Ah.
Yeah. I didn't know that, mate.
There you go. And see, now, Peter, you've learned something.
Founder of knowledge, you are.
I'm nearly as good as Philip in South Norwood, but not quite good enough as him. He's brilliant.
I don't think anyone can top Philip.
He's amazing. He's the font of all trivial knowledge. I hope he rings back with that record he was going to play us as well. Philip, if you're listening, I hope you found that. So, Peter, what can we do for you?
Little lyric for you.
Yeah. That was quite little.
No, it's bigger than that.
Okay.
So the rumours have it anyway. There was a dog called Petra.
Yep.
Who went to the vet in the back of a Fiesta.
Doesn't scan, but it's all right, go on.
The vet said, this is bad. The Blue Peter presenter went mad.
Yeah.
Cut the dog's throat, then etter.
The what?
Cut the dog's throat, then etter.
It's quite a harsh ending, isn't it? But, you know.
Life's harsh, mate, isn't it?
Life is harsh, Peter, and we can't, just by sweeping it under the carpet and being all politically correct about it, doesn't mean it's not happening, does it?
Exactly.
Blue Peter dogs are having their throats cut every day, and I know people don't like to talk about it, but at least we've given it a platform now, and people know it's happening.
Bringing it to the forefront of London.
We are, and I think, you know, more people should know about it anyway. It's like an awareness campaign between Peter, me and you have started an awareness campaign of the throat-slit dogs of Blue Peter.
Push it forward.
We should get people to send their money to specifically me and you.
Fine.
Yeah. And then we could probably use that money, perhaps to go to the porny restaurant I was mentioning.
Hey, that sounds cool.
I like it. It wouldn't be a date, Peter, don't get me wrong. I'm not asking you out or anything. It's not that.
No.
Not being funny.
We could go and celebrate.
We could go and celebrate and make, you know, do awareness for the campaign of dead dogs.
Dead dogs getting their throat cut on Blue Peter.
Exactly. Peter, thanks very much.
Cheers, John.
Okay. Good. Also an email here I've got to come in. This is from Michelle, who says, hi, John. Great show. I've been listening to you for a couple of days now, and I had a mental picture of you. I think that means, I don't know what that means, you're actually mental, but anyway. Oh, no, this isn't from Michelle, this is from Chris. Why does it say Michelle? Weird. Anyway, I had a mental picture of you as a middle-aged balding man that wore a tweed brown suit. And then I saw a photo of you on the LBC radio website and got quite a shock. You're young and have lovely dark hair. Now, I am young, obviously, and I do have lovely dark hair. But there isn't a photograph of me on the LBC website, Chris, or Michelle, whichever you are. You aren't either of... there just isn't one. You might be looking at a picture of Ian. Oh, yeah, you probably are, because it says tall as well. He's much taller than me. There is no picture of me on the LBC website. If you want to see a picture of me, you have to go to my website. Just throwing that in there. John Holmes, johnholmes.net. Can I plug that? Yeah, it's fine. Okay, johnholmes.net, if you want to go there. Of course, Tony Hawks. Tony Hawk, we're launching today's phone-in game. That's what I'm doing. Today's phone-in game, then, is this. Recently, as you'll know if you're a regular listener, with only a vague element of success, we've given away prizes for high scores on both Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell for the radio and Warhammer 40,000 Dawn of War Dark Crusade for the radio. Not for the PC or the Xbox, you understand. Oh no. But for the radio. And thus, with Heart of Gladness, we can turn now to the spectacular graphics and 3D surround sound experience that is Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 American Wasteland. Not for the Nintendo GameCube, no, but yes, for the radio. The game, let me tell you, the game is set in Los Angeles. You play a skateboarder who moves there to make it big in skating. When you get off the bus in LA, you get jumped immediately by some gangy locals. They take all of your stuff, but not your skateboard, oddly. You need to get your stuff back. Your stuff is now on the other side of LA in the heart of gangland in a dangerous police no-go area. You must get to the other side of Los Angeles. But standing between you and your stuff are vicious adversaries. And here they are. Orcs, terrorists, civilians, well-loved characters from classic novels, and, today, a litter of baby pandas. All of those are between you and your stuff across the American gangland wasteland of LA. You've got 5 controls. Shoot, don't shoot, pick up, use, bang uselessly into wall, or cuddle. You must decide how to react. Call 0870 90 90973 to play Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 American Wasteland on the radio.
If you've been declined life insurance...
Say Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 American Wasteland for the radio. There are some excellent prizes, as usual, up for grabs today. Today I have 4 DVD box sets of television to give away to those of you that get high scores. 0870-9090-973. We'll be launching into that game after the news at 5 o'clock. Meanwhile, phones, yes? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, what line are you...
I'm David on the M4.
What line are you on, please, David?
I don't know.
Did they not tell you?
No.
Oh. Can't get the... Hang on, I'll just check.
Can't get the staff.
You can't... Honestly, rubbish. If they don't tell you what line you... could you say line 6, please? Line what?
Line 6.
Thank you. Light to the telephones now, and here's Dave on line 6. Hello, Dave.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, sir?
Yeah, not too bad. I think I know the restaurant you're talking about.
Oh, go on then.
Is it called Sarasto's?
Yes! Yes, it is, Dave. Oh, that means I've got to take you. I was hoping a lady would ring up.
Oh, very kind.
Sarasto's, yes.
Yes, Sarasto's.
Yeah.
Great place.
Yes, it is, isn't it? I've been, and I couldn't remember the name of it, but that's exactly what it's called. And it is near the Old Witch Theatre, isn't it?
Yes, it's just off the Strand, east of Covent Garden.
There you go.
There's like little theatre boxes from...
That's right, you can sit round the top.
Yeah, absolutely, and some very interesting toilets.
The very interesting toilets, as what led me into. Do you think Chris will get Dave and I get a free meal there now? Now we've mentioned them.
Of course, if we keep bugging it.
Why not? Why not take advantage, frankly, Dave, of the situation we find ourselves in?
Absolutely. Well, perhaps we need some company.
Well, yeah, we want some. You know, we don't want to go with each other, do we? I mean, it's just going to be. Embarrassing. So, you know, if you want to go for a meal, probably a free meal now we've mentioned them, Dave, free meal at Sarastro's, then, you know, give us a call, me and Dave, you know, happy to take you out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Is it all right, Chris, if we use the radio for our own, you know, free stuff? Is that right? I've got a Rupert the Bear scarf through the post, Dave.
You're a lucky man.
So, you know, this sort of stuff works.
Was that knitted for you by one of your... avid listeners?
I think it may have been knitted by Rupert the Bear himself, even though bears technically don't have opposable thumbs.
Well, he is a talented bear.
Yeah, he is a talented bear. Yeah.
Talented as Paddington, but he's getting there.
Yeah. That's some porn I wouldn't like to see.
I was interested in your observations earlier on, actually. You don't seem to find porn laying around like it used to be.
No, do you remember those days, Dave?
I do, absolutely.
Right, yeah, when it used to be in hedges.
Yeah, or even on the beach, actually. I used to find it...
on the beach?
Where I used to live, hidden in beach huts.
Was that porn?
The local, yeah, absolutely.
Or was it a nudie beach that you live near?
No, it wasn't a nudie beach. Right. It was, I think, just a lot of old pervs taking their porn down there.
But it's weird, isn't it? You just don't get it anymore. Right. Probably because of the internet. I'd half expect someone to leave a website in a hedge now. You know, you could walk around going, oh, what's that website?
In
a smarty tube, thank you. Yeah, there's someone who's listening. A website rolled up in a smarty tube. That's what I... Or, you know, a website left... Smarties as well.
With a free porn site.
This, smarties.co.uk. Smarties, if you're listening, this could be a whole new angle for you.
They give you a free access.
I won't say anything about the brown ones being taken out. Dave, thanks for calling.
Okay.
Dave on the M25. Okay, after the news at 5 o'clock, with, of course, the lovely Claire Miller... We will be playing Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 American Wasteland for the radio if you want to play. 0870 9090 973. DVD box set of television to give away. This news is next. News is next. The news is next. On FM. Time at 5:06 then to bring you London's underground stations, beginning with W. You've got Walthamstow Central this afternoon, Wanstead, Wapping, Warren Street, Warwick Avenue, Waterloo, Watford, Wembley Central, Wembley Park, West Acton, West Brompton this afternoon as well, West Finchley's there, West Ham, West Hampstead, West Harrow, West India Quay, West Kensington, West Ruislip, West Silvertown, Westbourne Park, West Ferry, Westminster, White City, Whitechapel, Willesden Green, Willesden Junction, Wimbledon, Wimbledon Park, Wood Green, or Woodford Woodside Park. They are your London Underground stations, beginning with W this afternoon. If there are any changes, of course, as ever, we'll let you know. I'm sure Alan Joyce will have those as well in the travel in a while. John, this is on the text. John, you are the most arrogant and stupid man I've ever heard on the wireless. Love you loads from Charlie. Thank you very much, Charlie. Clearly you've never heard Chris Moyles then. Is the restaurant the one in Wellington Street by Covent Garden? It's opera themed from James. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. We've already established that, but thank you, James. It's me and Dave there tonight, because he got there first, so I'll take taking him. I've got loads of limericks coming in, actually. Loads of limericks coming in. Petra, can I read that? Petra, while out on her roams, bumped into presenter John Holmes. Hello, it's me. His trousers did fall, and she licked his le... Paul's also texted in. I remember the porn in Hedges phenomenon. John, I believe it was the inspiration actually behind Bill Oddie's bird-watching enthusiasm and Sir David Attenborough's theory's Filth in the Undergrowth, the BBC One series. That's what, well, that, yes, you're absolutely right. It's such a shame that the days of finding Joanne Latham in a bush are long gone. Don't use the word. Anyway, so, yes, Sir David Attenborough's theory's Filth in the Undergrowth, of course, very much the forerunner to BBC One's flagship series at the moment, Planet Filth. Paul. Anyway, we are going to play Tom Clancy, not Tom Clancy, we've done that. Tony Hawks' Pro Skater 3 American Wasteland on the radio, for the radio. And if you want to play it, 0870-9090-973. We're also talking about Blue Peter this afternoon. If you've got a Blue Peter badge, if you've got a Blue Peter badge, what did you get it for? I got mine for writing a limerick about the dead dog Goldie, which is why people are now sending me limericks about the dead dog Goldie, and that's fine. But that's the reason we're doing it. I was also going to talk about people being mugged as well, because, well, I'll get to that. Anyway, so, who's the... hello, are you a telephone?
I'm not on the phone.
Are you a phone? Are you a telephone? Are you on the telephone?
I'm on the phone, yeah.
Hello, what's your name?
Ollie.
Hello, Ollie. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. Thanks for asking.
Excellent. I thought the restaurant you went to was Elements.
No, it's Sir Astro.
Okay. Well, this is good.
Where's Elements?
Hackney.
Is it? No, it's not.
In the nice part of Hackney.
In the where?
A nice part of Hackney.
There's a nice part of Hackney?
Yes. Well, now nah, anyway.
Yeah. Alright. You say so. No, it's not that one though.
Okay.
No.
I want to play Tony Hawk's.
You want to play Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 American Wasteland for the radio?
That's one.
Do you know, have you heard this show this week at all?
Yep.
Good. So you know about the other games?
Yep.
Good work. So, correct answer already, you've got 5 points.
Yay.
Well done. Now, this is how you... This is... We are going to play Tony Hawks' Pro Skater 3 American Wasteland for the radio.
Okay.
This is... I'm going to set the scene for you now, Ollie.
Okay.
Here we go. The game is set in Los Angeles.
Yep.
You play a skateboarder who moves there to make it big in skating.
I played it.
You've just... So you know this is true?
Yeah, yeah.
You've just got off the bus in LA, you get jumped by some locals.
Yep.
They've taken all of your stuff.
Yeah.
But not, oddly, your skateboard.
Because they're stupid.
Yeah, it's a bit weird, because probably that's worth money. But anyway, you need to get your stuff back, and it's now on the other side of LA. It's in a gangland area, dangerous no-go area. You must get to the other side of LA. Standing between you in this game, though, are various adversaries.
Are there orcs?
There are orcs.
Yay!
There are orcs, terrorists.
Are they cool kidding?
Right? Orcs, terrorists, civilians. There are, mm-hmm. there are also well-loved characters from classic novels.
Okay.
And a litter of baby pandas. Okay?
Okay, yeah.
You've got 5 controls, Ollie.
All right, then.
Right, they are shoot.
Shoot.
Don't shoot.
Don't shoot.
Pick up use.
Pick up use.
Bang uselessly into ground.
Right.
Or cuddle.
Cuddle.
Right?
That's cute.
Okay, you've got to decide how to react when they pop up.
Righto.
Okay, you can be in with the chance of winning a DVD box set of television.
Okay.
Are you ready
to... television?
Of television, yeah.
Sweet. How was that?
Have you ever missed any television?
Only before I was born, but not since then, no.
Well, it's all right. That's included.
Oh, wicked.
So you'll be able to catch up.
Excellent.
Right, so, are you ready to play?
No.
You ready to play now?
Yeah, yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Good. Right, Helen's skiving today. Chris has got some probably inappropriate music, I don't know.
Righto.
But let's play Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 American Wasteland for the radio.
Let's go.
Interesting. Is this the Crazy Frog again? Better not be.
Ding.
No, it's alright, it's the dance version of Axel F. We're okay.
Good boy.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. You got the controls?
Yep.
Okay, here we go, Ollie. Ready?
Yep.
Orc.
Shoot.
Orc.
Shoot.
Orc.
Cuddle.
Orc.
Cuddle.
Terrorist.
You pick up a news.
Terrorist.
Put it on the news.
Terrorist. Terrorist orc. Orc terrorist. Elizabeth Bennet from Pride and Prejudice. Mrs. Rochester from Jane Eyre.
Put it on the news.
Terrorist.
Bang you to the end of the floor.
Terrorist.
Bang you to the end of the floor.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Orc.
Shoot.
Mr. McCorber.
Cuddle.
Health cube.
Cuddle.
Health cube.
Cuddle.
Ammo.
Shoot.
The amulet of power from a different game. Baby panda.
Shoot.
Baby panda.
News.
Terrorist. Terrorist holding a baby panda.
Cuddle.
Martin Chuzzlewit. Martin Chuzzlewit eating a baby panda.
Shoot.
Orc.
Shoot.
Civilian.
Eat.
Civilian.
Eat.
Civilian orc just going about his business, probably shopping.
Cuddle.
Terrorist.
Cuddle.
Orc.
Eat.
Lenny Bennett from ITV's Lucky Ladders.
Lick.
Mr. Darcy. Did you say lick? Lick's not even in the controls.
I don't get. Lenny. Tongue.
All right. Orc.
Tell us a skateboard fight.
Two orcs having a picnic.
Still the cake.
Civilian.
Still the cake.
Orc.
That's right.
Game over. Game over, Ollie.
Okay.
How do you think you did?
4 million points.
I'll just add, well, what I'm going to do, we're going to go to break, Ollie, in a moment. I'm going to add that up over the break.
Yay.
And then we'll come back, talk to you, and find out how much you got.
Wicked.
You could, though, as I say, be in with winning a DVD box set of television.
Of TV. Good stuff.
And if you ever missed any television, it's in there for you. You can we'll catch up with it whenever you like.
Yay.
Okay, stay there, Ollie.
Cheers, mate.
Okay, thanks. Right, I'm just going to add that up over the break. If you want to play Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 American Wasteland for the radio, 0870 90 90 973. Hello, by the way. I'm John Holmes, and I'm sitting here in this actual chair for a man called Ian Lee. Meet Kim. Petra, hello, by the way. Petra, the Blue Peter dog, died whilst having a snog with its tongue down the throat of the Blue Peter goat. And the two of them sank in a bog. Blue Peter bog. It's Colin, who's texting in from Philadelphia. What a waste, Colin, of transatlantic texting. Technology, that is. No, actually, that's a good one. And do you know why, Colin? Because it reminds me that about other Blue Peter animals. Was there a Blue Peter goat? Ollie, was there?
Hello.
Hello. Was there a Blue Peter goat, as far as you can remember?
Probably. I don't know.
How old are you, Ollie?
I don't remember. I'm 16.
Are you? So, did you watch Blue Peter as a child, Ollie?
Hold on a second, mate. Hey,
what are you doing?
I'm in a restaurant. Sorry.
You're in a restaurant?
Yes.
What restaurant?
A Turkish one.
I imagine it's Garfunkel's by the sound of you.
You're
not out with Simon, are you, who listens to this? He's not taking
Simon.
He's taking you to Harvester, has he?
No. I haven't been to Harvester before, though.
Have you?
It's quite nice.
Right. You trying to get a free visit to the salad cart, Ollie, by promoting that?
Yes, I am.
You take a lady to the Harvester, Ollie, they're not impressed, they will not let you anywhere near a salad cart.
I don't know.
All right. So, what restaurant? Where's this restaurant?
Southgate.
All right. Are you paying now or something? Have you eaten?
No, I'm about to get a kebab.
That's not a restaurant.
It's a bus kebab.
So you're sitting down in the restaurant.
Yes.
It's 5:20. That's not the right time to go for a meal.
I'm hungry.
Well, not I suppose. So is it a busy restaurant?
If you're hungry, you should eat. Yeah.
Is it a busy restaurant?
Not really.
I suppose if you are hungry, you should eat. No, not really. How many people are in there?
Two.
Just you and what?
My friend.
You and your friend are in the restaurant.
Yeah.
You're keeping it going, essentially, head above water.
Of course.
Yeah. How many people working there?
Like six.
Six. Are they all standing behind the counter looking at you?
Yep. Weirdos.
Okay. Now, you want to know what's...
They can't hear what I'm saying, so that's good.
That's why? You're far away?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you got, you want to know what your score is, don't you? On
yes, more than anything else.
Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 American Wasteland for the radio.
I want to know more than anything else in the world.
More than anything else. Okay, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
You got 10 out of 20.
That's it?
10 out of 20.
I'm rubbish.
Yeah, well, you know why? It's because you kept using controls that don't exist.
Like lick.
Lick isn't even in the controls. Even pressing two controls at once for a special move, lick isn't one of them.
Lick's in my controls.
It's not.
The real controls.
It's not on the controls on the game.
I don't care.
You can't just make up your own controls, Ollie.
You make up,
Where
would... What a box of television.
That's what you would have won, but now you don't even stand a chance. But you're the first...
Well, I might do, because everyone else...
Well, equally as rubbish.
Well, exactly. And also, you're the first player today of this, so you've got exactly. You've got the high score.
Yay!
Do you want to put your initials in?
Yes, more than anything.
Have you got... No, you want the other thing more than anything. You can't have two things you want more than anything.
Oh, I want this one more than that one now.
Do you want... You're going to put your initials in? What's... Yes. Have you got a middle name, Ollie?
Yes.
What is it?
Nathan.
Ollie Nathan what?
Sandler.
Ollie Nathan Sandler. Right, okay. You're going to put your initials
Adam.
In? What?
Adam Adam.
There's an Adam as well?
Adam Adam Sandler.
Oh, I see. Right, I did. I did understand. You didn't need to explain it. But anyway, look. I'm going to go through the. You know how you put your initials into a computer game, right? You go through the alphabet. You just press stop when it happens. Ollie. Oh, we lost him. Ollie, what was that?
I don't know. My phone went mental.
All right. Well, like caller, like phone owner. Right. So let's put your initials in very quickly before your phone goes mental again. Okay, you ready?
Yep.
So you, I'm going to go through the alphabet. You say stop for your first initial.
Right,
ready?
Yeah.
A, B, stop. C, D, D.
A.
D. I stopped on D. Right. For your middle name, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, M, M.
O.
M. Okay, D, M. Right, and this is for your surname, which was what, Sandler?
Yeah.
Okay, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, T, what?
Stop.
T, right.
S.
D, M, T, so, Ollie...
And trousers.
Ollie Sandler. DMT, your initials. But you're in with the high score. That's very good. You're in a restaurant, right?
I left it now.
Oh, could you go? Just go back in?
Why?
Go back in.
Okay, I'm back in.
Go back in now. Walk in.
Yep, I'm back in.
Right?
Yep.
Right, go in. Now, I want you to stand on a table.
Why?
Because I want you to cheer. For this is how you're going to celebrate your high score.
Okay.
Okay, so you're in the restaurant.
I'm not going to stand on the table. I will dance around.
No, get on a chair then.
Okay, I'm on the chair.
Get up, I want to hear you get up on the chair. Are you up on the chair?
Yes, yeah, I am.
Right, as loud as you can, I want you to shout, I've just got 10 out of 20 on Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 American Wasteland for the radio on LBC. Can you do that?
No.
Yeah, go on.
No.
Just go, I'm not going to send you a prize if you don't. Just say it, just, you don't have to shout it as loud as you can, but just sort of shout, say it loudly.
No.
Why?
Because I want to.
Why not?
Because... I don't want to.
Scared. Okay, well, give the phone to one of the people who work in the restaurant.
No.
God, what's wrong with you?
They'll probably steal my phone, aren't they?
Won't steal your phone. What are you saying about Turkish people?
It's not Turkish, you own a restaurant. Popcorn chicken, please, mate.
Ollie, you've let me down.
Okay. Deal with it.
Not sending you. I'm dealing with it now. I'm dealing with it by not sending you a prize.
Fine. Yeah. I hear it.
But thanks for playing, Ollie.
Yay.
You got the high score.
Woo!
Yay, even though you won't do anything exciting. All right, okay, Ollie there calling. If you want to play, if you're more interesting than Ollie, 0870-9090-973 to play Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 American Wasteland for the radio. Or you can still win a prize for... God, it's hot in here, isn't it? There's no air conditioning. Because it wasn't switched on, that's why. But it is now. You can win a prize also, which is a luxury skiing mini break on the upper slopes of Steve Allen. If you manage to guess the mystery celebrity from these audio clues. Okay, all I have to do is reverse those effects, take the second letter of each reversed effect, but of course that's the second letter from the end because they've been reversed, then put them together, take away the number you started with, that will give you the name of a well-known celebrity. You will win tickets. Not just tickets, a whole skiing mini-break on the upper slopes of Steve Allen. All equipment free, including ski hire, helmet and spear gun. You'll have two practice skis on Steve's nursery slopes when you've mastered those. It's also free to have a go at his piste. Lift passes are also included so you can get up him. Then on Sunday, you can toboggan across his back area. That is an excellent prize, I think you'll agree. If you think you can identify the celebrity from these noises... but you have to reverse them, take the second letter, put them together, take away the number you started with. That will give you the name. That will give you the name of a well-known celebrity. 84850... or email homes@lbc.co.uk. Mark is on the phone. Hello, Mark.
Hello, John.
How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Not too bad.
Where are you calling from now today? Where are you?
I'm in Morden.
Morden. What are you doing today?
Well, at the moment, I've just finished work, and I'm just sitting in the back garden in a T-shirt freezing me brass monkeys off.
Are you? Well, yeah. you should cover those up. You shouldn't just wear a T-shirt.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's a job I do. We get too hot after you...
What job do you do, Mark?
I'll come to that in a minute.
Okay.
I've just got a limerick for you.
Oh, great, good.
Yeah, right. The day poor old Petra died,
yeah.
Peter Purvis just stood there and cried.
Yep.
John Noakes thought it a hoax and cracked loads of jokes, while Drunken Duncan just stood there and sighed.
That's pretty good, Mark, actually.
Yeah.
That is good, isn't it? Which one of, was it, which one, can you remember this? That's a very good limerick, that's very good. Can you remember, if I was, by the way, judging the Blue Peter badge competition that I won as a child, which right. is, of course, the reason for doing this today, in that I did write a limerick about dead Petra and won a Blue Peter badge, I would perhaps give you a Blue Peter badge for that, that's very good.
Oh, thanks.
It's very nice. Sadly, I can only offer you an LBC badge, and that doesn't get you in free to museums, like the Blue Peter badge used to.
That's probably better than a Blue Peter badge, actually.
Yeah, probably, because Blue Peter badge doesn't get you in free anywhere anymore, apparently.
No, I've done it anymore.
But the LBC badge... The
LBC's taken over, really, from the Blue Peter badge.
In many ways it has. Yeah. Mark, hang on, Mark, can I talk to you after this?
Yeah, no problem.
Thanks a lot. You stay right there, freezing your brass monkeys, whatever. LBC, 97.3. Back in a minute.
If you...
Holmes. John Holmes.
In the next half an hour, by the way, we will be playing more Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 American Wasteland for the radio. If you want to take part in that and get the high score, you will win a DVD box set of television. 0870 90 90 973 to register to play. We will be getting probably two more of those in before 6 o'clock. We'll also be talking about men's and women's magazines, which almost links into the porn thing, but Chris has a story to tell.
John Holmes.
Yeah, it said that so twice for some reason. John is for the Mystery Celeb competition this afternoon. I'd really like to have a weekend mini break on the lower slopes of Steve Allen. Is the Mystery Celeb the female assistant to Donald Trump on The Apprentice USA? I'm sure it is. I will eat a conservatory door if I'm wrong. That's from Mark on 25. Mark, you are wrong. So if when you eat that conservatory door, you could come to the ABC studios and do it on air, that would be good. John, is it Eddie Large, Dan, on the A13? Is the Mystery Celebrity Eddie Large? Very close, actually. Dan, let's have another listen to the clues. Let's have a listen to the audio clues. There they were, three audio clues. All you've got to do is reverse those clues, then take the second letter of each of the reversed noise, put them together, take away the number you started with, that will give you the name of a well-known celebrity. I'm afraid, Dan, it's not Eddie Large, it's not the female assistant to Donald Trump on The Apprentice USA either, Mark. Oh, it's gone cold in here now. See, it was hot. Put the air conditioner... tangled up in the wire. Bet it gets hot again in a minute. What's the betting? Mark, I kept you waiting there, sorry.
No problem, John.
That's all right. Well, you were about going to tell me what you did, weren't you?
Yeah, well, you put out a question last week. You were talking about tunnels.
Yes, I was. Underneath London, yeah.
That's right. And then you put out one question. Why do we stay 6 feet under, buried 6 feet under?
Yes, I still... Well, yes, why?
Yeah, well, I might be qualified to answer that for you.
Go on, then.
I'm a grave digger.
A grave digger?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah, and most graves are dug to the depth of about 6 foot to 6 foot six. But that's what we call a new for two, if it's on a new piece of ground.
Call it a what, sorry?
A new for two.
A new for two.
So it's a grave space for two people.
Right, okay. Yeah.
So the majority of graves are dug to a depth of 6 foot, and that's where you get the term 6 foot under.
Right. But why 6 foot? Just because that's the...
Because you have a legal requirement that you have to leave above the last coffin going, and it has to be a minimum of 3 foot.
Right. Why is that?
It boils down to if any sort of animals, like foxes or anything, they only burrow to a certain depth.
Oh, okay.
That's the limited amount of soil you're allowed to leave on top.
That's an interesting... So if you have to bury two very fat people...
Well, you try to go a little bit deeper.
You've got to go deep, haven't you?
Yeah, well, I mean, we go up to 12 foot deep.
God, really? Yeah. Well, that must be really fat heifers. That must be dead
No, but
fatty.
That's normally a grave space for, you know, sort of four.
So does that happen a lot? You dig the first person to go in...
Yeah.
Goes to the bottom, obviously.
That's right.
And then you have to dig it all out again just to get the other one in.
That's it.
As well. Do you dig right down and just chuck it straight on top of the old one? Or do you leave a bit of earth between the two?
We tend to leave about 6 to 8 inches because you tend to feel as. Changes. You normally get a lot of soil.
Sorry, I lost you there. What?
Yeah. As you get down to the last coffin that was put in.
Yeah.
the soil changes, the colour of the soil.
Okay.
So you know you're getting actually close to
it. Because it's got what, bits of...
Yeah, well, it's a lot of topsoil
skin
that
in it.
Actually come off the top, which we normally put to the front of the heap.
Yeah.
So you just shovel the topsoil in first and compact it around the actual coffee.
Earlier on the show, Mark, we were talking about dead skin in mattresses.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if perhaps for the same reason, mattresses have to be a certain thickness.
Well,
to stop
possibly,
the previous owner. Because Sarah phoned in, and she is in a student accommodation, but she's not the first on her mattress, clearly.
Well, so, no. So there could be sort of like four or five sort of basically...
Dead students.
Well, in
her mattress.
That's
exactly
right.
That. So there has to be a certain thickness, so she doesn't end up sleeping on...
It could actually probably get thicker as the people sort of dissolve into the mattress.
Of course.
You know, it could have started off at 3 inches... thick, and she might have a sort of 10-inch thick mattress.
Yeah, which is just made up of dead students.
Yeah.
Mark,
yeah.
It's a fascinating world, isn't it? You're like CSI Gravedigger.
Yeah.
Which is, I've noticed, it's great. Is it did you, something you know, you always wanted to do, or did you fall into it by accident?
We've heard all that.
How did you get into it? The job.
I just basically worked for the local authority, and one of the jobs in the local cemetery came up, and I just went for it, applied for it, and I became one.
What sort of qualifications did you need? Good with spade?
Well, no, I mean, we do other things in the cemetery as well as, you know, we look after the cemetery, all the ground and everything else, so it's not just digging graves. We, you know, we do everything from pruning the trees to doing the flower beds to cutting the grass to, you know, everything.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's a good job. Do you get a house? Because I think I knew someone once. This, coming back to me now, and as it often does during the show when I speak to people, a memory comes vaguely back. I knew someone who worked in a crematorium. I think.
Right. Yeah.
But it was attached to the graveyard.
That's
but he got a house thrown in.
Oh yeah. Some the majority of graveyards or the cemeteries now do have like a house built onto the actual grounds, obviously for the supervisor of the actual cemetery that normally lives there.
Yeah.
And he don't normally does the gates and things like that, you know, the locking up and stuff.
Yeah. It's good they only get a free house.
Well, no, you don't get it free, you get a subsidised rent.
Right.
Basically, yeah. Yeah, but you do get, you know, it comes with the job, the house.
I'll tell you, I think I may have said this before on LBC, but I'll tell you again, because I'm just going to tell you, Mark, because it's, you know, it's grave-related humour. My Nana died recently.
Uh-huh.
Fairly recently, well, in the summer, right? And I did talk about this on ABC, but she was cremated,
right?
And it was the hottest day of the, you know how hot it was in this summer, really hot,
yeah.
And she was being cremated, and we went into the, you know, very solemn into the church, into the chapel of the crematorium, all the whole family and all that sort of stuff, you know, loads of people all walking in, and it was, and there's no air conditioning in there,
no.
And I was walking my sister, and I kid you not, she said as we walked through the door, she went, oh. It's like an oven in here. That's what she said. And I, of course, laughed out loud, which kind of ruined the moment.
You would do, yeah.
Because that was fun. I was like...
You saw the funny side of it.
Did you just say... And she was like, oh, God, why did I say that to you?
Yeah.
But it was very funny, just to me. Anyway. Yeah. Livened my day up.
I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, if you look at it logically, I mean, what you're doing is actually celebrating someone's life.
Hey, you know, well, there you go.
When you go to these services. So.
Exactly.
You know, my father-in-law, he doesn't want anybody in black. They've all got to come in Chelsea football shirts.
Nice.
He wants a huge party, balloons, you know.
Have you ever dug the grave for a relative?
Not for a relative. I've dug a grave for a friend and a friend's father as well.
Do you make it extra special neat or anything? Do you do anything that's, a bit different?
I mean, I try to make all my graves I dig sort of neat, so...
Certainly, you know.
No, you don't give any sort of special preference. Such, you know, you just try to do the best job you can.
Best job you can. If I, well, as we all do. Not that you'd know that from listening to me, but clearly. But if you, if I, you know, when I die, Mark, if I was to call you up, obviously before, and say to you, Mark, I don't want a boring rectangular grave though, or one that's 6 feet. I want one that's 30 feet down.
Right.
And I want a parallelogram.
No, we couldn't do that.
Why not? What's the?
Because you're only allowed a limited amount of space.
Right, but it could be a small parallelogram. It doesn't have to be huge. I mean, you know.
Well, yeah, but it depends on the size of your coffin, obviously.
Well, what if I had a big coffin made that was a big parallelogram? Then you'd have to, wouldn't you? Because otherwise, it'd be like that child's toy that's a sort of football with all different shapes, and you have to put the plastic thing through the right shape.
Yeah.
So imagine if you dug a rectangle, lighting up in a big star-shaped coffin. It wouldn't go in. You'd have to dig a star shape.
Yeah, well, we couldn't dig a star shape.
Is that really? Is that the rule? Seriously, you can't dig anything other than a rectangle?
Yeah, no, you've only got a certain width of land you're allowed to buy.
Right.
So, you could only have the basic rectangle shape or a coffin shape grave.
But what if like with a house, you bought the next door grave and knocked through?
Well, you can do. You could, if the land is available.
Yeah. So I could have a star shape if I bought a double grave.
If you bought a double grave for the one next door, you could probably have a star shape. I mean, you'd have to give us plenty of notice. Obviously,
how
a big one.
Cool, because if I deliberately try and die with my legs and my arms outstretched, but then try and get rigor mortis to set in before anyone finds me, that's it's got to be a big old coffin, hasn't it?
Well, yeah, it will be a big old coffin.
That's brilliant. I had no idea that was the rules, but I now know that you can have whatever shape grave you like. Mark, you've been a revelation to me.
No problem at all.
It's been a pleasure talking to you.
No problem.
Brilliant. Cheers, Mark. That's great. Mark there. Andy Limerick was very good as well. Mark there. That's fantastic. What brilliant. A coffin shape that's not. Imagine the surprise of everyone. And imagine the people as well trying to carry it into the church. Because if it's your coffin, you sort of get your two at the front, two at the back, two in the middle maybe, as pallbearers. But if you're like in a 10-foot star, you'd have to have a person at each point. And probably one in the middle as well. That's excellent. I'm going to get one of those. Hello, Diane.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine. What sort of shape coffin would you like to be buried in?
Love heart shape.
Brilliant. Diane, a love heart coffin.
Yeah, why not?
That's great. Would it be pink?
Of course it would be pink.
Oh. And they'd have to dig. What's great about that is Mark there and his mates would have to dig a heart-shaped hole.
I know.
Imagine how tricky that would be for them.
And you'd have to lace it in pink or something. It'd have to be pink. It's my favourite.
Oh, well, it would be. If it was you, Diane. You like your pink. Listen, I've got to go to break, but I'm going to stay there because I'm going to talk to you because I know you want to talk about a goat on Blue Peter.
All right, then.
Don't go away. Thanks. LBC 97.3. You can still call us. We play Tony Hawks as well. 0870-9090-973. Yes, there's another game of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 American Wasteland for the radio coming up before 6 o'clock. But meantime, I'm talking to, and was talking to, Diane. Hello, Diane.
Hello.
Hello, sorry for making you wait there.
That's fine, that's no problem.
So, you want to be buried in a heart-shaped coffin? They'd have to dig a heart-shaped grave.
It has to be pink, though.
It's such a good idea, isn't it? I'd definitely have a big star.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Very.
Yeah. Now, Petra, though. Ah, Petra the dead Blue Peter dog. See how the show, Chris, see how this all comes together. Because
it's
somehow
quite a mad show, really. I've only just started listening to you, but it's quite amusing, yeah.
Quite amusing, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, how many out of 10 would you give it?
7.5.
That's not bad, Diane, is it?
My manager got me into it.
Your manager?
Yeah, he listens to you on his way home from work.
Does he?
And he was the one that told me to phone you and tell you that there was a ghost in Blue Peter.
A ghost?
A goat.
Oh, a goat.
And a tortoise, apparently.
I know there was a tortoise, because we were talking about that earlier. I don't know whether you heard. You remember Tim Vincent, the Blue Peter presenter? He had to leave Blue Peter after he drop-kicked the tortoise against the studio wall.
And it
came out of its shell.
That's naughty.
And it went on Connie... Remember Connie Hook?
Yeah.
She went on her face like the creature out of Alien. A nude tortoise.
Oh, shame on her.
On her?
But you know, I never actually got a Blue Peter badge from them.
I did.
Oh, can I have it?
No, I've lost it. But it used to get you free into museums and stuff, didn't it?
I think it still does.
No, it doesn't. They stopped that last year. And you know what? I never wanted to go to a free Blue Peter museum anyway. I wanted to go to Alton Towers.
People just want the badges.
Didn't get you into Alton Towers free, Diane?
I'll try and get you one, sweetheart.
Oh, bless you. I can tell you what, I could do you an LBC badge.
Yes, please.
That gets you free access into Nick Ferrari. Right.
Is it?
Yep.
Cool. One of them I'll do then.
LBC badge.
Yeah.
Shall I make you one now?
Yeah.
Okay, hang on. What do you want written on? I'm going to write LBC 97.3. And Blue Peter had a sort of ship, didn't they?
Yeah.
On the badge. What would you like to draw?
I want a pink love heart on my one.
A pink love heart. Right, okay, here we go. I'm going to draw a pink love heart. On the badge. Right, I haven't got a pink pen, so what I'm going to do, I've got a biro. I'm going to do it in biro, but then I'm going to give it to Chris and he'll find a pink pen upstairs.
Okay,
there's one in James O'Brien's pencil case. And I'm going to tear it out. There you go. It's sort of circular, but not really. But what that'll do, if you wear that, and then you go up to Nick Ferrari any time, you can say, I've got an LBC 97.3 listener's badge. Can I come into you free? and he'll have to let you in, because that's the rules.
Oh, right then.
Diane. What was the goat called, then, on Blue Peter?
Do you know what? I don't know, you know.
Oh, you've given us half the information that we need.
Maybe Billy?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
I don't remember a goat. I do remember. I remember the dogs and the cats and the thing. And now I'm told there was a baby, a Blue Peter baby. That's just weird. Called Daniel.
Weird,
isn't it weird? It's a bit sinister, I find. And there was
they still got their dog, though, haven't they?
There was what? Sorry.
They still have the dog, isn't it?
They've still got dog. There was a horse called Rags. They had Joey Deacon as a pet, didn't they?
Oh shame. That's Blue Peter. They never allowed him to get away with stuff like that.
I think that Blue Peter should have had, could have had all sorts. They should have had a Blue Peter gun.
Maybe.
Blue Peter shopping trolley.
Whatever position to make their, like, logo into a ship, what's a ship got to do with Blue or Peter?
Well, it's a nautical term, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Blue Peter. I think it was a nautical sailor's dance.
Yeah, but they could change that.
What?
You're quite funny, really.
Oh, thanks very much. Have I gone up from 7.5 out of 10 at all?
No, maybe 9.5 now.
Hey! Bring it on. Thanks, Diane.
You're welcome.
It was a pleasure talking to you, but I'm putting your LBC 97.3 listener's badge in the post.
Oh, yeah, you're going to know where to send it to me.
Because you stay on the line and they'll take your address.
All right, wicked.
Thanks. Thanks,
Diane. Thank you, darling.
All right, cheers, bye.
Bye-bye.
Right, we're going to play Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 American Wasteland for the radio. We're going to squeeze this in before 6 o'clock, which, of course, is when all hell breaks loose because we let everyone on air with no vetting whatsoever. But meantime, is that Scott?
Hello, John. How are you?
I'm very well, Scott. Are you?
Very well, thank you. Very well.
Good. Where are you today?
I'm at home. I've just got back from doing all my Christmas shopping.
Oh, all of your Christmas shopping already?
Yep. Well, I'd say about 90% of it's done. There's a couple more bits, but I think I've broken the back of it, to be honest.
Broken the back of what?
Broken the back of the shopping.
Oh, right. You didn't buy a goat, then?
No, I didn't. No.
Break the back of a goat. No. I'm very impressed with that.
Well, thank you. I usually leave it to the last minute, and I thought, no, I've got to get organised. So,
that's really organised.
I've just blitzed it all, and it feels good.
Well, I'll tell you what, Scott, have you got a present-shaped gap still, just one? For someone you haven't got, someone's yet, someone you might have forgotten.
Yeah, just little odds and ends, but most of it's done.
I'll tell you what then. If you win,
yes,
Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 American Wasteland,
yes,
you will win a DVD box set of television.
Okay.
And that would make an ideal stocking filler, wouldn't it?
It would, yes.
But do you know anyone who watches television?
Me.
Have you ever missed anything that you wanted to watch?
24.
Well, there you go. Well, now's your chance to catch up. This is a DVD box set of television. It's got all television in it. You'll be able to catch up with whatever you missed.
Wonderful.
We're going to play Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 American Wasteland. I'll just run through the rules very quickly, then we'll take a little break, and then we'll come back and play it, right? The game, Scott, is set in Los Angeles. You play a skateboarder who moves there to make it big in skating. When you get off the bus in LA, you get jumped by some locals. They take all of your stuff. Oddly, not your skateboard. You need to get your stuff back. It's now on the other side of LA in the heart of gangland. It's a dangerous police no-go area. Mm-hmm. Your task, Scott, is to get to the other side of LA, but standing between you are various adversaries. I will tell you what they are and what your controls are in a moment, Scott.
Are there orcs involved?
Of course.
Excellent.
Of course there are orcs.
Good.
Quentin Jones here.
John Holmes.
So, Scott.
John.
There are various adversaries standing between you and the heart of gangland, where you need to get to.
Okay. And the DVDs as well.
And the DVDs, which of course come if you get the high score DVD box set of television. As a part. So there are orcs.
Yep.
As you mentioned. Terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
Civilians.
Mm-hmm.
Well-loved characters from classic novels.
Mm-hmm.
And a litter of baby pandas.
Excellent.
You've got 5 controls, Scott.
Okay.
You've got shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Don't shoot. Pick up news, bang uselessly into ground,
mm-hmm.
or cuddle.
Okay.
They're all going to pop up. You've got to decide how to react.
Okay.
Are you ready to play Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 American Wasteland?
Yes. Go for it.
Okay. Here we go. More slightly inappropriate music again, of course, courtesy today of Chris. But at least, you know, it probably reflects the American election, Scott, doesn't it? So that's fine.
It does.
Okay, that have gone staggeringly wrong for Bush. Anyway, you ready to play?
I am.
Here we go. Orc.
Shoot.
Orc.
Shoot.
Orc.
Shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Terrorist orc.
Shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Democrat who's won a new seat.
Shoot.
Orc.
Shoot.
Elizabeth Bennet from Pride and Prejudice.
Cuddle.
Mrs. Rochester from Jane Eyre.
Cuddle.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Terrorist sitting in the same rocking chair as Mrs. Rochester from Jane Eyre.
Shoot and cuddle.
Orc.
Shoot.
Mr. Micawber from Dickens.
Don't shoot.
Health cube.
Pick up a new.
Health cube.
Pick up a new.
Health cube.
Pick up a new.
No, you're already full of health. Ammo.
Shoot.
Ammo.
Pick up a new.
Ammo.
Pick up a news.
The amulet of power from a different game entirely.
Pick up a news.
Baby panda.
Cuddle.
Baby panda.
Cuddle.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Terrorist holding shoot. A baby panda.
Shoot and cuddle.
Martin Chuzzlewit.
Don't shoot.
Martin Chuzzlewit eating a baby panda.
Don't shoot.
Civilian.
Shoot.
Civilian.
Shoot.
Orc.
Shoot.
Orc.
Shoot.
Orc.
Shoot.
Orc.
Shoot.
Orc. Shoot. Orc.
Shoot.
Orc. Shoot. Orc.
Shoot.
Orc.
Shoot.
Civilian orc going about his business, probably shopping.
Don't shoot.
Terrorist.
Shoot.
Doing his Christmas shopping, Scott. Terrorist.
Shoot.
Terrorist trying shoot. To take a baby panda onto a plane as hand luggage.
Pick up a new.
Orc.
Shoot.
Orc.
Shoot.
Lenny Bennett from ITV's Lucky Ladders.
Shoot.
Mr. Darcy.
Don't shoot.
Two orcs having a picnic.
Shoot.
Two orcs having a picnic with shoot. Mr. Darcy. Child on a skateboard.
Don't shoot.
Civilian on a skateboard.
Don't shoot.
Child on another skateboard.
Don't shoot.
Orc. Orc.
Shoot.
Orc. Christ on a skateboard.
Don't shoot.
Game over.
Excellent.
John, how you did?
Go on then.
Just going to add this up for you. Wait a minute. 15 out of 20. 15 out of 20. Do you want to put your initials in?
Okay.
You are today's high scorer. I'm going to run through the alphabet. You say stop when you get your initials. You ready?
Okay.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, T. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, 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 T, M. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T.
I don't have a middle name.
You don't have a middle name?
Oh.
Make one up. A, B, C, D, E, T. Right. Another L. T, L, M. Congratulations, Scott, with the initials T, L, M. You are today's winner on level one of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 American Wasteland, the prize of the DVD box set television in the post to you. We'll be playing more of it tomorrow. Next, we open the phone lines completely live. This is LBC 97.3.
John Holmes.
Is it me? Yeah, good. Right, OK. This is LBC 97.3, of course, and with the time at 6.05, this apparently is when we open the phone lines without any vetting whatsoever. It's not my idea. Again, it's against my better judgement, but that's what happens. So the phone lines are open, so if you do call 0870 9090973, you will go straight to air. Just before I do, though, I do want to tell you of a text I've got in that says, quite rightly, John, the Blue Peter is a flag that's raised before a ship leaves port to tell the crew to report back. There you go, I said it was a nautical thing. And that's what it is. What does it say? I think Blue Peter porn star was Peter Duncan. I can't remember who it was. If you think you know who the Blue Peter porn star was, then do let me know. Probably tomorrow now. John, I'm ill in bed at the moment. Thank you for cheering me up. Were you ever a DJ on Radio 1 about 7 years ago? If you were, you helped me get all my artwork done when I was a student in Wales. That was from Helen in New Malden. No, I wasn't, Helen, but it was on Virgin Radio, and I think I remember helping you with your art, and it wasn't 7 years ago, neither of us that old, but I think I remember that. So anyway, that is, anyway, the phones, yes, you, there, you, fur, what?
Standard, evening standard classified news. Holmes doesn't have a great show for Lee. Less Holmes the same tomorrow. More news tomorrow.
It's good, you know. Whatever that is, that was fine. Okay, Chris put someone else through to the electric unit. Hello?
Hello, the John.
Hello.
This is the Eliminator.
It's not the Eliminator, is it?
Well, can I be once again?
Okay, are you in your friend's bedroom again?
Well, not this time. Where? I've decided to make a change. I'm currently outside the very worldly home base.
You're outside home base?
I'm outside home base.
Well, which branch of home base?
Can I divulge that information without getting myself into bad things?
Yeah.
Twickenham.
Brilliant. Right, so, is it busy?
No, not really.
Okay, is there a customer service desk? Can you go in there?
I am currently on my way inside the shopping place.
Right.
Customer services, is it?
Go to customer services.
Okay, I'm on route.
Okay, and just when you get there,
yes.
Just get to the front of the queue.
Okay, is there a queue?
Is there a queue? Go, barge straight to the front, right? Slam your hand on the desk. I don't want to hear that. I want you to hear this. And I want you to go, ding, waiter!
Ding, waiter.
Can you help me, please?
Can you help me, please? What's up, John?
You bought a lawnmower yesterday.
I bought a lawnmower yesterday.
And when you got it home, it wouldn't work.
And when I got it home, it wouldn't work.
And you unscrewed the top to have a look.
I unscrewed the top to have a look.
And there was a pig in it.
There was a pig in it. A pig, can you believe?
Pig.
A pig.
What are they going to do about it?
What are we going on about?
There's a pig in my lawnmower.
They're asking what we're going on about, John.
Tell her there's a pig in the lawnmower.
There's a pig in the lawnmower.
Tell her it was a piggy mower.
What sort of pig was it, John?
Big pig.
A large pig. Do you know the breed?
No. So you don't know the breed because you don't know your pigs.
You're having me on a lot.
I'm not a veterinary person. I don't know what breed it was, but
there was a pig. Call the manager. Demand to see them. So I demand to see the manager, actually.
I think this is a bit worse. Great, look, go, run away!
Well, he bottled that up pretty early, didn't he? Okay, next one, please. Yeah, hello. Not as good as the pig in a mower, is it? Next, yeah, go away. Next caller, please. Hello, who's that?
Hello.
Hello there.
I want people to blog the giant hogweed.
Right? When? When?
Right now.
Right now?
Or later. Or tomorrow.
Well, you'll be specific because people are busy.
Anytime.
Anytime they want to or anytime that you're ready?
Anytime they want to.
Right. What if you're not ready when that happens?
I'm always ready.
But not always, surely.
Always.
Okay. So the giant hogweed.
The giant hogweed dot blogspot.
Dot blogspot. And you'll be there waiting.
I'm always waiting.
Always?
Always.
What if you're not ready?
I'm always ready.
Okay.
I'm always ready and waiting.
Are you?
I'm the waiter.
Okay. Well, you stay there and you wait.
Thank you.
Okay. Right, next caller, please. Because that's frankly too weird. Next, yep. Hello, line Fort. Hang on, line.
Hello, John.
Hang on, just counting the lines. One, two, three, four, five, six. What line did you call in on?
The normal one, John. Yeah, Steve from Waltham Abbey, the Copped Hall man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think you're on line six, Steve. Just, I have to write that down. I have to keep a log.
Oh, sorry.
It's all right.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm fine, actually. Yeah. How's Copped Hall tonight?
I don't know. I haven't been past it this evening because I live in Waltham Abbey, which is just a little way away.
I remember.
I think it's all right. I just wanted to say that I was in hysterics earlier on when you were talking to the grave digger chap.
Yeah.
About how did you fall into the job?
You're
making me laugh now. It reminded me of a true story that happened to me some years ago when an uncle of mine passed away.
Right. Sorry to hear that.
Many, many years ago.
Okay.
And it was the first time I ever saw somebody who had passed away.
Yes.
When I was invited by my mother and my grandmother, and my grandmother, it was her brother that had actually passed away, to go and view him in the Chapel of Rest.
Right.
In the Undertaker. Now, bearing in mind, I'd never seen anybody like this before.
Yeah.
I was in my early 20s. But we walked in, went in the room, and he was laid out in the coffin and everything. And my grandmother turned around to my mother and said, my mother's name's Jean, turned around and said to my mother, "Oh, Jean, isn't it like him?"
Now, that is good.
Which I thought, well, it just cracked me up, you know, in the same
splendid way
as you said you did recently.
Mm-hmm.
I
love that. Inappropriate things to say at a funeral.
Yeah.
It's good.
And one other quick thing was a friend of mine 10 years ago who passed away sadly, lived in bedsits for most of his life. And bedsits are commonly known as multi-occupied houses.
Yeah.
And there was a strange irony in the fact that when he passed away, he was actually buried, if you like, in a grave that was with other coffins, so he actually
brilliant.
You know, did a multi-occupied grave.
That's
which we,
very,
we, We thought it was a bit sort of strange, but ironic.
But no, that's very good. I think, do you think that would have to be dug very deep then from what Mark said earlier about digging graves, and you have to dig them, depending on how many people are in it, that's how deep you have to go down?
Well, so. you know, without going into any sort of graphic details, there were four people in this particular grave.
I see, yeah.
And I gather, and probably a lot of people don't realise this, that there are, for people who perhaps are not very well off, and this chap was in this situation.
Yeah.
People who maybe can't afford a funeral, haven't made provision.
I see. Yeah.
The hospital or you know the local services make provision for people to be buried in dignified situations.
Right.
And that's what happened. Although myself and my family and some friends contributed to the actual funeral cost.
Fair enough. Well.
He was actually placed in a very, very nice, cemetery.
Yeah.
But in a multi-occupied grave, which he would find that very ironic.
That was what I was going to say. If he were to see the funny side of that,
oh,
Steve,
definitely.
then that's fine, isn't it?
Without a doubt, he was a real character, and we all miss him greatly, obviously.
So, well, you know, when next you visit the grave, do send our love.
Of course I will.
Thanks. Steve, thanks.
Nice speaking, John.
Lovely, and speaking to you as well. Good, thanks very much. Away now. Yeah, the lines are still going to be open. We're taking a quick break, but we'll be back straight to air. 0870 90 90 973. That's right, and it's the Against John's Better Judgment half an hour between 6 and 6.30. This is where we open up the phone lines on 0870 90 973, and then we put you through to the video without investing you, which is a really stupid idea as well. But here's another one of you, you're mental. Hello.
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 It's Robert.
Hello, Robert.
Cab driver.
Hello.
I just wanted to mention to you about a funny incident that happened to me before I went cabbing. I used to work for an undertaker.
Oh, yeah.
And the first body I actually ever saw was in a public mortuary.
Yes.
And I went in there, and this body was laid out with a sheet over it. And the guy said, "Did you want a cup of tea?" And I said, "Yeah." And then all of a sudden, this body sat up. What had happened was that the body fills up gases.
Yes. I've heard this before, doesn't it? Yeah, it does, yeah.
And in the old days, I don't think they do it now, but they used to plug the orifice, every part of the body.
Yeah, the orifice, yeah.
Yeah, so all the sort of ways to escape the gas can't get out.
Yes. Some people who are alive should have that done to them, I could tell you.
Yeah.
Some people around here.
But it really was
frightening. Nick Ferrari.
And it put me off sort of undertaking forever.
Well, yeah. Now, because I've heard this sort of story before in terms of this happening, but why, you might be able to answer the question, Robert, why do they sit up? Why not, you're full of, go on.
Seemingly when the gas is built up, especially if it's a big guy or a big woman,
yeah.
The gases have to come out some way, so it just makes the body rise.
Like a bread.
Yeah.
But a bread doesn't sit up, does it?
No, but it does with the body.
But I could see it would rising.
From what I've heard, I don't know how true this is, I think when a body's put into the furnace, they all sit up as well.
Well, there's not room, is there?
Oh,
it's just going to bang your head. You're going to bang your head on the roof of the furnace.
I don't know. But that's something I was told. I don't know how true that is.
Are you sure it wasn't someone having a joke with you?
No.
Because I admit it would be quite weird if you saw a body sit up that was full of... Whether you knew it was full of gas, a dead body sitting up. But I don't know why it should sit up. I'm prepared to believe that the stomach would distend, Robert, but I don't know what would... I'm interested, and I'm not saying you're making it up or anything. Of course not.
No, I'm making it up. I actually saw it in my own
Well, exactly. So, but I'm interested now...
Explain to me...
That it was the gases to do it.
It's the gases that build up in the body, and in the old days, that's what they used to do. They used to plug the bodies.
Yeah. But they don't do that anymore, presumably, do they?
No.
So they just let the gases hang out.
Yeah.
I'd like to see a dead body sit up, Robert. I'd just from a scientific point of view.
Yeah.
So if anyone listening's got one that they want to bring around, you know, someone may have it's not a laughing matter, Rob, really, but if someone may have just passed away, you know, and you're waiting in between sort of the passing away and the funeral, if you want to pop it round to LBC, maybe for tomorrow's show.
Yeah.
If you can't get Emma Bunton, Chris, let's get a dead body in. Yeah? As the guest? And then we can all sit and watch it, plug its orifices, as Robert carefully said. Tea time, and we'll see if it sits up, Robert. You could come in and judge it for us.
Yeah, well...
But we could get two and have a competition, see which sits up the fastest. Would you judge that, Robert, for us, if you did that?
Yeah, of course.
Thanks very much. Robert, thanks for calling in.
Okay,
okay, if you happen to know about any more about that, that's quite interesting information. Perhaps, again, tomorrow's show, we could maybe try and see if that's true or not. Maybe a medical examiner could give us a ring. Philip.
J-
John, I'm very sorry. I've been searching high and low, but I can't find the Arnold Stang record. I've been, I think, you know, when you've got so many records, you know, you don't keep them filed. They tend to go for a walk.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I've got so many records, and a lot on vinyl as well, I'm talking, yeah. Right? A lot of on vinyl, and I can't find, yeah. You know, you go to, exactly the same, you go and try and, I know I've got that.
Yeah, I know, I've got it, yes.
You just spend hours looking, because, of course, you don't file them alphabetically, yeah. Or whatever, do you?
Yes, sir, I mean, with 45s, you know, they're small little things, they do, you know.
Yeah, I've got cases of them in the garage, and I can't, you know.
I understand. Just one bit of news about Chrysalis.
Go on.
I've just been switched on my Freeview.
Yes.
And it said, you know, I'd upgrade, you know, for new... And I've got Heart.
Yeah.
You know, Chrysalis' sister.
Yeah.
And it's not recorded, it's not broadcasted yet, but it's on Freeview.
What, Heart's on Freeview?
Yeah.
But it's not broadcast.
It's not broadcasting yet. It seems to be... So I wondered if Heart's on there, how long can LBC before it goes on Freeview?
There's the $6 million man question.
Yes.
That mixed up a metaphor there, but you know what I mean? Yes. I can't answer that for you, Philip, but all I can say is, you know, listen to this space.
I will keep looking for Arnold Stang.
Yeah, well, please, yeah, do.
Okay, John.
Thanks, Philip. Thanks for trying to find the record, but obviously call us tomorrow if you do. Line's still open. John, 08709090973, of course. John, there are common graves. There are six others in a common grave with my dad. I feel very sorry for them, because he had really sharp elbows. That's from John in Abbey Wood. Mark here giving me some information. You take too long with individual callers, John. It's supposed to be a quick fire half an hour. Yeah, but Mark, the point is... Right? I'm interested in what people have to say, right? So that I don't want necessarily an idiot to ring up and just go down the phone. What's the point of that, Mark? Making good radio? Is it rubbish? I want to talk to people. I like people. Like Steve. Hello.
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 Tina Turner here.
You see, Mark, I take it all back. Go on.
I've seen a dead body rise, but it was full of bread.
What?
A dead body?
Yeah.
Or it was full of bread?
Full of bread. That's White Rose.
On that, yeah. Can I squeeze your handbag?
See, Mark, you text in that, and that's what happens, Mark, isn't it? If you, you know, it's supposed to be a quick fire round, you say, yeah, I know, but then if I just go straight, phone, like that, that's what happens, Mark, idiots, with their squeezing handbag stuff. Hello, next.
Trick or treat?
A treat, please.
No.
Look, how many times have we got to go through this?
Well, exactly.
Right.
Here's my treat.
You said trick or treat. I say, do you ask me, trick or treat? I say treat, and then you never give me a treat. You're like, you dangle a treat in front of me, teasing, always teasing me.
Look, I'm not coming around to your house to put your records in alphabetical order, so give me a treat.
You asked me if I wanted a trick or a treat. I say treat, you give me a treat.
That's not how it works, you know that.
It is how it works. How many times? Every day, God. Always the same. Teasing me with your treat promise that you never deliver on.
Oh, it's rubbish. Now, where's my treat?
It's my treat. Get rid of him. It's my treat. It's my treat. Does he not know the word? My treat. Hello, next.
Ob, globs, blobs, bobs, bomb.
Again, Mark, this is what happens.
Glib, glib, glim.
Isn't it, Mark? Was that a limerick about Petra?
Praddy.
Lose it. Just lose it. Next one. Hello.
Hello.
Limerick about Petra.
Can you turn the radio down?
Yeah, sorry.
Thanks very much.
I'd like to ask a question.
Would you?
Yes.
Go on, then.
How do I get your job?
How do you get my job?
Yes.
Well, to be fair, it's not really much of a job, is it? It's not proper.
Well, I didn't ask you what type of job it was.
No, you didn't.
How do I get your job?
Well, you could apply for it.
How do I do that?
Look in the paper. When it's
you
advertised?
You don't advertise in the paper. Come on, you're a bit bigger than that, aren't you?
I'm not that big. No.
Well,
but,
not in size stature, but,
no,
you know.
No, all right. Well, that's into... Well, Bradley, I'll tell you what.
Yeah?
Tell you what. Why don't you make a tape of you talking to idiots?
Right.
Right, and then send it in.
Well, I do that all day long. You want to come down my work?
What do you do again?
I run a minicab office.
You run a minicab... Yeah, that's a lot of idiots. Yeah.
There
well, why don't we job swap?
Do you fancy doing
let's
that?
Job
That'd
swap.
Be a good program.
For a day, let's job swap.
That'd be a good program, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I'll run
I
a minicab office.
You could cope with my job.
You're absolutely right, I couldn't cope with your job. I wouldn't have the first clue. There'd be a disaster on our hands if
but
I had.
But that's why you're not phoning me saying, how do I get my job?
Exactly. I couldn't do it, but you could easily do this.
Well,
anyone could do this, couldn't they?
I could. Well, I don't know about anybody. I take me hat off to you. You know, it's not easy. You have got a multi-function and stuff. But
do you wear a hat?
I do fancy your job.
Do you have a hat?
No.
You just said you took your hat off.
Well, it's off. That's why I haven't got a hat.
Good answer.
Was that a bit quick for you?
That was very good. I knew you were going to say it, of course, but, you know, it's good.
So, do you think I could do your
job? I think, of course, you could. Look, anyone could do this, couldn't they? It's really, really easy. All I'm doing
But you've got to show me all the buttons and stuff, haven't you?
I'm sitting here.
Your jingles.
All the jingles and bits of stuff, yeah, all that. Yeah. See, honestly, it's easy.
So, when can I come
in? A monkey could do it.
So, when could I come in, then?
I don't know. You better ask the producer.
Well, let's ask the producer. Bring the producer in.
Well, you'll have to speak to him off air, because we're running out of time now, but the show's about to finish.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
But I'll call you tomorrow?
Call tomorrow, yeah, we'll sort it out.
Lovely.
Good stuff, thanks so much.
Bless your heart.
Thank you, sir. How long we got, Chris? How long we got? 30 seconds, so we do one very quickly. Go on, hello?
Hiya, John, it's Sarah.
Hi!
In Greenwich, yay! We buried, I really shouldn't do this, my mum would kill me.
All right, hurry up, 30 seconds.
All right, we buried my nan yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah, she
not in your mattress.
No, that's sick, John. Earlier. Honestly,
Sarah, do you like that you were our first caller today, and now you're our last caller?
It's goodness.
It's come
anyway,
full circle. Very quick.
And
20
we were
seconds.
In a limo,
yeah.
And I was trying to comfort my mum.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? Everything's going to be all right.
Yeah.
My granny's cool.
She wasn't cool though. Well, not if she'd been cremated.
She wasn't cremated. She was buried.
Oh, that's right. Sarah, thanks for calling in.
Hi.
I hope it was a limo that was all white with blacked out windows. We'll see you tomorrow, same time, 3 or 6:30.